If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
B.I.G. Ah!
Everything is falling apart, and like birds are dying. I mean, birds are dying, and it's like hard, you know, to like wake up every day and know that like there are bad things happening, and this bird was just like a symbol of that.
You will spend eternity burning in hell, you slack-jawed. I can't wait for the day you die. Death is the most putrid, foul, disease-ridden whore to ever live. I can't wait to dance on your grave, you foul, evil witch. You make me sick to my stomach, you infectious human waste. I hope the devil himself violates you for an eternity and skull you as he peels off your skin.
And now,
F you.
Our feature presentation.
There's a lot of that kind of talk.
I don't know what's going on with that.
What?
F you.
Same to you,
wow.
Buster.
Yeah, all right,
just
now.
Rude.
Just saying.
No way to talk.
Sometimes it is, Lisa. Sometimes
well,
nothing else
What have we
works.
Done this morning?
Oh, no,
don't here.
Even get me started.
I think that was from yesterday's show. Kevin was making a reference to Tyra Banks on her tribute to the vagina. And I got an email that was, I don't know, it was a little bit surprising. Lisa, and I want to get your view on it because
okay.
you're the chick, right?
Mm-hmm.
Bean, if there was a bigger Tyra Banks fan in the world, I thought it would be you. Which, by the way, is a sentence that I know sounds like it makes sense, but it really doesn't if you read it again. How could you let Kevin talk about Tyra that way? Yeah, I get it that you guys were never teenage girls or ever will be, but there are teenage girls who may be too scared to ask questions in a classroom setting. All Tyra was trying to do with a vagina show is convey information and relate her experience to those who don't know or have misconceptions about feminine hygiene. Her show is designed for women, not creepy old men who can't stand that women aren't mere sex objects. If you don't like what you see next time, change the channel. Gloria.
F you, Gloria.
Well, I will say that your idea that her sex show was going to be, her show about the vagina was going to be all sexy was stupid. Of course
it had
not.
No Victoria's Secret models in it at all, by
well,
the way. Like
we
kind
of knew that going in. It was going to be more of a primer
hoping.
For women. But my objection to it was done in a very immature, non-professional way, talking about the pee hole, for God's sakes. You just don't talk like that.
She is so...
And then she puts on her little funny voices because she's actually embarrassed. If you're going to do it, don't do it in an embarrassed way. Be forthright. Be professional. Use the right terms and, you know, do a good show. It was a terrible show.
It was a terrible show because she is obsessed with her.
Exactly. Not because Bean was disappointed in that it wasn't all about sex. That's not why it was a terrible show.
I was disappointed there were no upskirt videos. That's what I was hoping. When I heard vagina show, I thought, great, upskirt videos. I mean, didn't you, Kevin? I mean, that's
absolutely
what you're expecting, right?
So that's what you count on.
She had, and I didn't even get a chance to mention this yesterday, and maybe this is a useful tool. This is what they teach in, you know, junior high sex ed, but they had a stuffed plush toy of the vagina with all the various parts on it. That's
oh, good.
What they were using as the demonstration.
Uh-oh.
Yes?
And?
Well, I'm just saying. Does that seem professional to you? I mean, that seemed
never,
like it might be a useful tool, but I tell you what, they should have put up on the screen where I could buy one.
Yeah.
I've never seen a plush
Here's
toy
the
of the vagina, I have to admit.
You should find this out from your parents, first of all. Second
yeah,
of all.
Yeah, that would be nice. Now, you don't always have those parents.
So, second of
right.
all, if you don't have those parents, I don't know, family, friend, brother, sister.
Aren't they all supposed to do it in school?
Thirdly, school. I mean, where is Tyra Banks' TV show on that list? It's got to be way down low.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah, I mean, I don't ever need a show that involves discharges. I just don't. It's just not... It
well,
B, need
that
be.
Wasn't for you.
She's just bad on every level. There's nothing she can do that isn't bad because she's so, like, believes that she's just the every woman and everybody can relate to her. You know who has actually pulled that off? Is Oprah Winfrey.
Yes.
Who makes $300, $400 million every single year. And somehow women relate to her because she talks to them on, I don't know, whatever level she connects.
Well, she doesn't talk to them the way that Tyra does.
But Tyra
does,
sees
that.
Herself that way, but is just the opposite
yeah.
of that. Hmm. She's a supermodel complaining about, you know, average women problems.
And everything she says is so dramatic the way that she says it. It's
yeah.
so, I am going to be talking about the vagina today.
She's Captain Kirk?
She is Captain Kirk.
Well, I didn't realize that.
Wasn't that insane? Was that not crazy?
When I do my 1 hour primetime special on the vagina, it's going to look very different. That's all I'm saying.
I can't wait for that.
I have one thing to say to you. Mm-hmm. Kiss my fat ass.
Okay. Now, if her ass is fat, does that mean the other side's fat as well?
Oh yeah, I don't
it's
know.
Probably puffy.
It Lisa. Is puffy. Nicely done,
just like the plush toy.
That girl's fat.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, I just wanted to get the female perspective on the complaint from Gloria. So
yeah,
you didn't have any problem with the concept of the show.
No, of
you
course
thought
not.
Tyra was the wrong person to host it.
Tyra's always the wrong person to do whatever it is, no matter how good intentioned it may be.
You always walk away from her show annoyed and frustrated.
Yeah.
Because you think, wow, there could have been some good information there.
That could have been a decent
Couldn't
show.
Couldn't get past her.
Yeah.
Yeah.
She sucks.
She does.
She's so bad.
And she's doing really well, which is the saddest part of the whole story.
I know. It's getting decent ratings, right?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. It's a big, very big. It's one of the top five daytime shows.
Oh,
yeah.
My God.
Yeah.
Well, that hurts.
Yeah,
right
it really does.
I could think of 100 other Victoria's Secret models who should have a show who don't. Unfortunately, she's the one that has it. I also needed to mention that on my way in this morning that the feral cats, the wild cats in our parking lot are, they're having other feral cats, and they seem to be taking over. And they're getting more aggressive. Well, I had to climb along the top of a fence to get in this morning because they were jumping and trying to bite my feet.
Here's the thing about wild animals is they will breed as much as they can forever unless somebody stops them. And unfortunately, the hair is a roadblock between those cats and people who want to save them from continuing to overpopulate the world with kittens.
They did catch them, though.
The hair that Bean refers to. I'm sorry.
Didn't they catch some of them and fix them?
Release them back into the parking lot?
Well, yeah.
Maybe that's possible, but I'm telling you, it's getting worse now.
But I'm sure others came in.
And the hare, as Bean refers to him, is Scott Mason, who's in management at this. He's a suit. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And he, quote, loves cats, so he feeds them every day. And this is their living condition, is in our parking lot.
Yeah, it's kind of sad.
So we keep trying to say, dude, you're not really, I know it seems like you're helping them, but you're not really. He won't hear of it.
It's more and more breed.
So I'm gonna have to start bringing pistol.
Your BB gun.
I am.
No,
BB's too small.
No.
Stop bringing a pistol.
He's gonna bring the saw from Vegas.
Yeah, that's right. The saw. Yeah.
Oh yeah.
I'm gonna bring a Glock. AK. That's what I'm bringing. Just to get into the building because there's so many of them. I still like the idea, and I am in. If anybody else wants to help me with trapping them all. And then taking them over to Scott Mason's house and then releasing them in his backyard. If he likes
Fantastic
them so much.
Fantastic idea. Okay. Yeah. Totally.
If he likes them so much.
Didn't we have a guy who called who does that, who catches them?
I don't remember, but if we do, I sure would like to get in touch with him.
Okay. The
it's
call
be,
is out. Put up the bat signal.
Getting to be a bad problem again.
You know what? I try to get Scott a Christmas gift. Maybe this year that'll be my contribution toward paying for that guy to come out.
Excellent. All right. Let's talk about today's Kevin and Bean Show. It is Wednesday, and it's the 7th of Blovember.
That's going to be my follow-up special after I do my primetime vagina show. I'm going to do a Blovember special with the same Victoria's Secret models.
Yeah. On today's show, we have Susan Miller. She's going to cast her voodoo spell on you or tell your future, whatever it is she does. I don't know what she does.
I think she's an astrologer, Kevin.
An astrologer, yes.
Right.
So so Mars is in retrograde, and that means that you should stay in the house all week.
Yeah, she's a grown woman who makes a living off of people who are convinced that your life is different if you're born at 8:22 or at 2:15. That's in essence what she does.
I got news for you. She's convinced your life is different.
I think
she's a believer.
I think there's two different kinds of people that are astrologers. One is the person who knows that they're a scam. Mm-hmm. And I think she
reads them for entertainment.
Yes, and I think she probably does believe that. In this, and that she's really doing a service.
I had lunch one day with her, and she got on the phone with a family friend and said, tell her to do the interview today, and then proceeded to say why, because of the stars and her chart. She absolutely believes it.
When were you having lunch with her?
It was a couple of months ago.
Did you ask her to go to lunch? Because you wanted her to read your... Oh,
but
my God.
But you know what? Not one thing she told me.
Really? What a surprise.
But I was curious.
You went to lunch with her to get her to read your chart.
Oh, my God.
Oh. Because she believes it so much, she makes you believe
it. No. What a kooky broad you are is right. She doesn't make you believe it.
I did for a little bit.
Well, I know you. It does seem to be that more people believe than don't.
Yeah.
I don't know that for sure, but every time we bring it up and we doubt, we get lambasted with people who think that it's real. So anyway, so we're going to have her on today. Also, Jonathan Davis. Jonathan Davis will be here.
Yes.
Oh, really?
Yeah, he'll be here singing. He's got a solo.
Excellent.
He's got a solo tour. He's going to do some acoustic performance this morning.
That would be.
You
going
to be singing with him?
Maybe. Maybe he'll ask.
Sounds like you're ready.
To. Yeah. Lightning Explains Things coming up this morning on the Kevin and Bean Show.
Oh, can't wait.
Oh, good.
He has a special, unique insight into things that the rest of us don't seem to have. And there's never been anyone more confident, never been anyone who has more answers.
Or less facts.
Or less facts, right. So Lightning Explains Things coming up.
It's good to have a guy like Lightning around because sometimes you need a contrary opinion. And you can count on a contrary opinion from Lightning regardless of what the topic is.
100% of the time.
Absolutely.
Yeah. We have an author on the program today. It's Wednesday, so it's Book Wednesdays. And John Robison is his name, or Robison, I don't know how you say it, but he's written a book called Look Me in the Eye, My Life with Asperger's.
Ooh, interesting.
He has Asperger's, and he, as a kid, everybody told him, look me in the eye. Why aren't you looking me in the eye? You must be, there's something going on. What's going on with you? You're not looking me in the eye. And they all thought that he was evil, and he was going to end up being a killer and all this stuff, because he couldn't look anyone in the eye. Until he finally gave in to the fact and found out more information about Asperger's.
Asperger's syndrome is a mild and rare form of autism. It is typically characterized by difficulty establishing friendships and playing with peers.
Check.
Trouble accepting conventional social rules.
Check.
And they dislike any change in setting or routine.
Check, but I don't have it. This guy does, and he's written a book about it.
And we're going to ask him about people who have all of the signs.
Including not being able to look people in the eye, which I didn't even know was one of your problems.
But, quote, don't have it.
Don't have it, right.
Based on the fact that all the information says the opposite.
Good news, Plush Vagina, it turns out, is opening Acoustic Christmas.
Excellent.
They just signed it, so that's excellent news.
Wow, they're working hard this time of the morning. Also on today's show, we got LaQuisha. Reviewing A Shot of Love with Tila Tequila, which was on last night.
Excellent.
Fantastic.
We have Harvey Levin from TMZ talking about the latest showbiz. And we have, what would TV shows be without writers? Because it seems like we're heading that direction.
Yeah, I think Desperate Housewives is already breaking. They don't have any more scripts.
They have writers?
Yeah.
All right. So anyway, that's all coming up this morning on the Kevin and Bean Show. We'll take a quick break and come back with Ralph's Showbiz Beat next.
Ralph's here with the Showbiz Beat. First thing for Wednesday morning, what's going on, Ralph?
Attention all players. Attention all players. Please check your DUI pool cards.
Oh, what do you got?
See if anyone had Rebecca De Mornier.
No,
Rebecca
no.
De Mornier of John from Cincinnati, the HBO series from Risky Business.
She was very, very angry in that show.
She was.
And then it was.
She needed a few cocktails to take the edge off.
Right.
Yeah.
Because the night before Halloween, Beverly Hills PD pulled over Rebecca for a unknown traffic violation, and they went, hey, you smell like some sort of distillery.
Yeah.
Could you step outside the car, please? They gave Rebecca several field sobriety tests, which she failed. Turns out her blood alcohol level was 0.09. She was cited and released from the Beverly Hills police station.
I'm looking at the pool. I don't see her name.
No, Rebecca De Mornier, huh?
Sorry.
Oh, damn. Maybe she was celebrating the 25th anniversary of Hot Seat over on KDOC.
Could be.
Because that was her dad. You know, George was her father.
She watched that on Friday night, and she went, whoa, no way.
No way.
It's not my dad.
So that's the latest actress pop for DUI. In the world of celebrity porn, sex tapes.
Yes.
The company that is probably best known for releasing these, the Red Light District Media Company, is being sued by Amy Fisher. The Long Island Lolita. Remember Amy Fisher?
Yes.
Yeah.
Shot Mary Jo Buttafuoco, the wife of her boyfriend Joey Buttafuoco, in the face.
Shot her in the face.
Became famous for a short period of time thereafter. Well, they're about to release the Amy Fisher sex tape, and she is suing them to keep that from happening.
When was the tape shot?
And who's she with? Is it with Joey?
No, it is with former husband, a gentleman named Louis Valera, who's a former police officer.
Fantastic. Mm.
They split up, and he decided to sell the private home videos to the company.
Wow.
He's a sweetheart.
Yeah.
It's just a vagina.
They entered into the contact in August of 2007, without permission from Amy. They're getting ready to release, and she would like that not to happen. And from the stills, she looks pretty good. So maybe we maybe we should hope for them to win out over her.
I don't remember her being hot.
Well, she wasn't. She was cute, and then she grew up, and she had boob implants, and had a little work done, and she looks pretty good.
All right. Yeah.
You guys know that she is now back together with Joey Buttafuoco, that they are now a couple again, right?
That was for a reality TV show.
They reunited. Now they're not?
Yeah, they reunited briefly for this reality TV show to show them sort of trying to patch things up.
Right.
And the show was horrible and got canceled early on, and they went their separate ways.
They broke up?
Yeah.
So. Well, like Kevin said, thank God he's not in the sex video.
Yeah.
Yeah, you wouldn't see that big hairy ass going up and down. Day three of the writer's strike. Day three.
Day three.
How can we survive?
I'm just happy for Jimmy to get a day off, to tell you the truth. That guy works way too hard.
Yeah. He's going to fly back and forth from the coast for no reason now, he said. Just going to fly. Just because he got used to it and he liked it.
Excellent.
In front of Warner Brothers Studios, writers reportedly converged on a house serving as location for a shoot for Desperate Housewives. The 30 strikers chanted, "We write the story, Eva Longoria."
Oh, my God.
You're making that up. Wish I was. I'm going to keep track of all the writers' chants throughout the strike and keep bringing them to you because these people call themselves writers and should be horribly ashamed for what they're coming up with. Yesterday's was, "Who's got more money than they can count? Paramount." And today's is, "We write the story, Eva Longoria."
Dude.
At least that's got some meter to it. At least it's got a, you know, reason.
Yeah, but still.
Storia? Longoria. That's your slant rhyme for today.
Now, why is Desperate Housewives, Lisa was saying that she heard that Desperate Housewives is already very close to having to shut down production. I mean, they operate that close with their scripts?
Yeah, they're way behind. You know, it's not unusual for production-intensive dramas like that one, where they have a lot of characters, a lot of cast going on, to be writing right up until they start shooting. So they may be behind.
So they didn't stockpile storias?
No. Hmm. A buddy of mine works over on a medical drama, and he said they're screwed. They've got a couple more scripts to shoot, and then they're out. So
wow.
There's a lot of... The dramas may be affected quicker than we even imagined. So we'll have to wait and see. Congratulations to Everybody Loves Raymond co-star Brad Garrett. His divorce is final.
Yeah. Oh, good news.
Good news. He's a free man. According to People Magazine, Brad will be shelling out a reported $35,000 a month in child support. And his wife will get half of all his syndication money from Everybody Loves Raymond.
Oh, my God.
Ouch.
Any idea how much that is?
Does not say here. Does say, though, Brad is looking forward to more poker games with Kevin so he can try to make some of that money back because Kevin is a bad poker player.
I'll tell you one thing that I have seen. I did see him out and about, and he was with his ex at the time, and they were with their kids. And they were very civil to each other. They seemed like they were doing what they needed to do for the kids.
Wow.
It was really different to see.
That's good.
Apparently, when it comes to raising their kids, they are completely on the same page. And they say, yeah, it's very
And this wasn't all that contentious, apparently. Apparently they were in court forever.
No one even knew about it for like 6 months when they first split up. It was sort of that below the radar.
Yep. So.
But still, half your Raymond money.
Yeah.
That's a lot of money.
A lot of money.
Well... He wouldn't have been successful as an actor on that show if it hadn't been for her at home.
Don't
right,
bait
Lisa?
Me. Don't bait me.
They won't give the writers an extra 4 cents a DVD, but wives of actors get all the money.
Yeah.
They have nothing to do with the show. The goddamn writers write the jokes. They can't get half of his money.
Listen, if she married him right after he was on, what was that show with Ed McMahon where he broke through? He won that.
Star Search.
If she married him right after Star Search, she was really rolling the dice.
Yeah.
So she wins.
They
she
were married for 7 years, Lisa. So that means she probably started dating him right around the beginning of Raymond, I guess.
Yeah. He wasn't huge then.
His wife, Jill, was a former cocktail waitress.
Don't get us started.
Just saying.
Whore.
So I'm sure as a cocktail waitress, she had plenty to contribute to his career.
She was probably a wannabe actress.
Yeah.
Just hadn't made that jump. And then she married him. Her whole career was derailed. God knows.
Right.
She could have been the next Meryl Streep.
That whole waitress career was derailed?
Yeah.
We don't know.
Yeah. Right. It was likely she would have been the next Meryl Streep.
You know, helped him at night with his lines and everything.
That's probably
gave
what
him
happened.
Motivation.
All right.
Small brain.
You know how much you could get the best acting coach in Los Angeles for? You know how much you could pay for that?
Less than that?
Less than half of the Everybody Loves Raymond money. That's all.
Yeah.
George Osmond is dead.
No!
Who's that?
Patriarch of the Singing Osmonds family.
You know? He's dead? I didn't even know he was sick.
Yeah, apparently he was. Natural causes, the age of 90, Donnie Marie's dad, you know, Donnie Marie Osmond.
Yeah. Yeah.
All the other Osmonds. Wayne and Garrett and Tito.
Is there a Tito Osmond? No, there's no Louise. Tito. There's no Garrett.
Anybody.
There's no Louise.
Brock.
Brock.
No.
Cleophas.
I think, I don't know what you're thinking of, but those aren't Osmonds.
Here's the thing I bring it up. His George and his wife, Olive, had nine Osmonds, okay?
Yep.
Who all became performers. Those nine kids had 55 kids.
Wow.
Those 55 grandchildren had 48 kids.
Wow.
So George Osmond at 90 when he died had nine kids, 55 grandchildren, and 48 great-grandchildren. That's too many goddamn children.
We keep blaming the immigrants for the population explosion.
Wow.
We need to look in Utah.
Freaking Mormons. That's what it is. Enough with that.
Is it the Mormons who believe you get your own planet if you have five kids? That's part of their faith?
What?
I've never heard of that.
You get your own planet?
You get your own planet, yeah.
Is it
in
Pluto?
The afterlife.
No. I've never heard of that.
Yeah, I there's something like that. I think it's with the Mormons.
That's hysterical.
I got to look into that.
Oh, God.
I know magic underwear, but I don't know planet.
And that's why five is that's why you have to have at least five, is because that way you get your own planet in the afterlife.
So it's nothing about birth control. I mean, they believe in that then?
It'd be so much better to be Islamic if you get 72 virgins than a planet.
Yeah, who wants a planet?
I agree.
What are you going to do with that?
Big, empty planet, you and your five kids.
Yeah.
Well, we can
all of their kids.
Build a Dairy Queen over there, I guess.
Got plenty of room.
Or here or anywhere.
You know, I just wish Jesus would finally come back. They've been talking about it for a while. I want Jesus to come back. Because the first thing he's going to do is say, what are you people, crazy?
Straighten everyone out.
What are you doing? Seriously.
But isn't the whole Jesus story about him coming back every bit as crazy as getting a planet when you die? I mean, seriously, they're all kind of whack stories.
Well, then I want him to come back and straighten everybody out.
Okay.
Because I think the first people he'd take on are the religious nuts.
Yeah.
The Catholic League announced yesterday that they want people to boycott Nicole Kidman's new movie, The Golden Compass.
Why?
Because it's based on a book by an atheist, Kevin.
Yes. Are you kidding
me? Even though the movie itself doesn't...
has nothing to do with religion.
Yeah.
Right.
But the guy who wrote it was an atheist. So the Catholic League says, don't go see that. See, then now is when we need Jesus to come back and say, hey, Catholic League, cut it out. Hey, I hate you, Catholic League. That's what Jesus would say. Jesus would finally get his ass all in an uproar about people and say, I hate you, you Catholic League people. And then he'd like throw magic dust on them, whatever he does. Turn them all to stone or whatever he does.
Is this going to hurt this movie, or is this going to help it by the controversy?
Yeah, probably help it, because I don't know people who were that excited about it before. It's a kid movie, basically.
Yeah.
It's about polar bears fighting in suits of armor, as far as I can tell.
It's a good thing the Catholic League doesn't have any internal issues to deal with.
Right.
Now they're looking outside.
They're focused and tell us what movies to watch.
That's good.
Because if you go to see The Golden Compass, odds are you will lose your faith in God, apparently. That's what they're afraid of.
Can steal your soul.
Yeah.
That's true.
Yeah.
Guys, it's very dangerous to hear alternate points of view. You know that.
That's true. Very against that. Yeah.
And there's good news for the Eagles.
The band or the team?
Well, not the team. There's no good news for the football team, the Eagles. But there is good news for the band, the Eagles.
Okay.
An interesting conundrum presented itself this week. The Eagles are releasing their new CD. The first release of all new material in 28 years, by the way, for this band. It's been around since the 70s.
Wow.
Called Long Road Out of Eden. Now, the deal is it was only available at Walmart's.
Right.
It's the only place they were selling it.
Okay.
Billboard has a standing policy that they do not list exclusive released CDs on their Billboard Top 10 list.
Why? It doesn't mean they don't sell.
I have no idea why they have that policy.
Okay.
But if it's available only in one location, they do not put it on their Billboard list.
For years, we ran into that with the Kevin Bean Christmas CD when we would sell it at one location. SoundScan would not accept it.
Yesterday, they announced they're changing that policy.
Oh,
really?
Oh.
From now on, exclusive album titles will be counted on the charts. And so this week, the Eagles will have the number one CD in America.
Really?
The album so far has reportedly sold over 700,000 copies.
Yeah!
In its first week of release.
Isn't there Greatest Hits, Best Of, whatever that is? Isn't that
still
one
still on the charts?
One of the biggest selling CDs of all time?
Yeah.
The biggest. The
biggest.
Number one.
Wow.
Yeah. And that's remarkable, because that 700,000 figure, that's the biggest album of the year in terms of first week sales. I mean, no one comes gets it in that ballpark anymore.
And that's one week, and you can only get it in one store.
Wow.
So
I drove out of my way to buy one this week.
Good news for the Eagles. Bad news for Britney Spears. It knocks her to second place.
Aww.
Her first new album in 4 years, Blackout, only sold 290,000 copies.
Wow. huge difference.
So, congratulations, Eagles. I just wanted to be able to say that one time this season. That's all.
It's been rough.
Feels good just to say that out loud.
Hey, they're apparently playing the Super Bowl, Ralph, so at least you got the Eagles
that's
in the Super Bowl to look
Eagles
forward to.
Eagles will be at the Super Bowl this year.
True.
We know that for sure.
That's true.
Today's celebrity birthday is Christopher Knight. He was Peter Brady, of course, on the Brady Bunch, and then he married Adriana Curry. Remember that the model from America's Top Model?
Mistake.
They're still together,
they're
though.
Still
right?
together and very happy.
No, that's what I meant.
What are you talking about? That's what you meant?
I just coughed. A little something.
They are a murder-suicide waiting to happen, though. Those that couple,
they
I got to tell you.
They seem very happy.
Sure.
I'm very happy.
No one's more stable.
Christopher Knight is 50 years old today. And the London brothers. Familiar with the twins, Jeremy and Jason London, the actors?
Yeah.
Jeremy was on Party of Five. Jason's worked in a bunch of movies, too. They're both 35
Days
years old
Confused
today.
Days and Confused,
too. Oh, right. That's right, yeah. They're both 35 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Pretty good show today.
Yep.
Except for the next 5 minutes. That we can't really speak to because, you know, when producer lighting comes in, it's pretty much a crapshoot.
Well, here's the thing. We're not smart. And we look at a situation like the writer's strike and we say, you know, we don't know all the details. It seems to us, and we talked to Kevin Smith yesterday, like the writers are entitled to something. But we don't know. We don't know the other side. Apparently, Lightning does know the other side and will now explain to us what the hell's going on.
Lightning can be deadly. Don't take chances with lightning. Stay safe.
Everybody say hey!
Lightning is violent and unpredictable.
Everybody say ho!
Even today, nobody fully understands the effect lightning has on its victims.
Everybody scream!
When lightning strikes, people listen.
Here's what we love about lightning. He's been our producer for quite some time, and when he has a thought, just a random thought pops into his head, he interprets that as the gospel truth from on high.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And takes for granted that it is not a theory, but now fact, because it is in his head, and shares it with us as if that's the case.
But I share it in the office, and then oftentimes someone will come with some fact, and then I do shut my pie hole.
Not very often. No.
It does happen.
No, yeah, but not very often.
Wow.
Mostly what happens is this. Bean and I and Ralph and Lisa and Mike and Omar and Dave really agree on nothing.
Right.
I mean, you can't pick one thing we all agree on. But Lightning will start talking, and all of us in unison will look at him and just start yelling at him. What are you? How can you? We're in perfect step when it comes to Lightning.
Right.
He's a unifier. That's to his credit, is he's able to bring people together. Because just like you know, just like in the days of the Cold War, Kevin, if you all have a common enemy, then it makes you all closer.
That's true. Yeah.
Yeah, but this one just started out as me saying, "Well, this strike is bogus," and then you're like, "Oh, Lightning's got a theory."
Well, we don't know. I don't know that much. From what I've heard, if they're trying to get any money from digital downloads and they don't get any, the writers, I don't know. Seems to me like that's reasonable, but I'm not saying it as if I know, like you do.
I never said that I knew.
Oh,
I just had an opinion.
You know.
Listen, Lightning's gut reaction is unions are wrong.
Right, that's correct.
He hates unions.
Well, unions can do a lot of damage.
People banding together to try to be stronger against enormous corporations. He thinks that's bad.
Yeah, but see, I don't think all enormous corporations are bad, and I don't think a corporation being enormous is bad.
I agree.
Yeah, they
with
look
both
out
of
for
those.
The little man. Absolutely. With
and
no
I
prompting.
I think that when oftentimes, you know, way back when unions started, it was in a young industrialized nation and there were crappy working conditions and unions were very, very useful.
Important.
Not that we don't need the history of unions.
Well, I think that's for part of the reason why they've gotten so big over so many years and so powerful that very often they can unravel the industry that they're in. Case in point, General Motors, you know, where the world's largest company now on the verge of bankruptcy because of health care from former union employees. And the union doesn't give a rat's ass. They just like, we want our, you know, we did our time. We want our health care. And my kids.
I don't think anyone's disagreeing with any of those points so far. I mean, I saw a thing on the teachers union, too, where they can't fire a teacher. They actually have a room in New York where they put teachers who have allegedly abused kids sexually, but they can't fire them because of the union.
Right.
So they have to go to this building and just sit there all day.
Right.
It's called a rubber room. It's the strangest thing I've ever heard. So unions aren't necessarily always
Don't
good.
You also have a rubber room, by the way?
Yeah, I do. Yeah, but that's different. Now, but this particular case, it does seem like the people who write these shows are not, to us at least, are not that out of line asking for income stream, a part of an income stream that has But just developed.
That's the problem, is that there is no business model yet for this new revenue stream.
Right.
Is that it looks like there could be in 5, 10 years, whatever, but they're negotiating things, their contracts based on stuff that NBC puts up The Office for free and things like that. And basically, it's oftentimes close to being a spiff for the advertisers. You know, you got the little 30-second commercial that's on the beginning. Mm-hmm. They're not charged
just for
enormous.
Explain to us how business works.
Well, listen, I'm just saying that at this point right now, there's not a great business model. It's not like they're making a ton of money. Everyone's dumping money into the internet because they know it's going to be the next big thing, but they haven't figured out how to make money at it. The writers are already negotiating back, you know, based on the fact that they think that there's this massive amount of money coming in and it's not there yet.
No, writers are asking for a percentage of profits. If there aren't any profits, they don't get any money.
By the way, they're asking.
And when there are profits, they
they're
will.
They're asking to double their income.
That you're talking about DVDs.
Now you're
two separate
topic,
issues.
Dude.
Two separate issues. The income stream from internet, they're asking for a percentage of whatever profits happen.
Right.
The DVDs, separate. 4 cents versus 8 cents a DVD.
And
two separate issues.
But okay, fine. So let's take the DVD thing. That is a massive increase.
When they made their deal 10 years ago, DVDs weren't really where people were getting their movies. Now it's changed completely. So how can you... How can you hate them for wanting to redo a deal when
it goes back to the basic union thing. I think if you're talking about thousands of workers, not an individual here that's a great script writer, or I believe that things should be negotiated on a case-by-case basis. Not everyone, because it doesn't promote advancement. It doesn't promote excellence in a union. It promotes status quo very often. It promotes, all right, Lisa's not as good. I'm great. Lisa's not as good as a writer.
You hire a bad writer because of the union. You still get to hire whoever you want.
But when you get hired the first time for your first job and you're in the union, you get paid scale, you get paid these minimums that were established by people who were better before you.
Hey, Elite. Let's talk about DVDs just for a second.
Okay.
DVDs, like Lisa said, 10 years ago, they were not that big of an income.
That's not where the money
was
being made.
Now a DVD actually makes more money. A DVD of a movie actually makes more money than the release of the movie in theaters. They can make more money now. Before, almost nothing. Now more.
But is it double? Should they get double?
I'll bet the income on DVDs is 2,000%. I mean, I'll bet it's way, way, way more than it used to be. So it doesn't seem like, you know, a 100% raise, although that sounds like a lot.
Right.
They're getting 4 cents. They want 8 cents. Doesn't seem like it's all that much.
By the way, I've been in union negotiations. You ask for 8 cents, you take six. You know, that's how you negotiate,
just like any time you negotiate, you shoot really high.
Producers are saying nothing.
It doesn't mean – well, listen.
Zero.
You get no more. I'll tell you, the producers, we all look at them as being super, you know, money – they're out for every last red cent.
Of course they are.
But here's the thing. They should be able to reap the rewards. They're the guys – when the writer gets hired, he gets paid. When the writer sells, when they sell the show, he gets paid. When the show airs, he gets paid. When it re-airs, he gets paid. And sometimes in perpetuity, forever, the writer gets paid. The producer only gets, he lays out hundreds of thousands, if not millions of dollars out of his pocket.
And then he doesn't get any money for any of those airings?
If it doesn't get sold, he loses all that. It's a gamble for him. It's not a gamble for the writers. It's not a gamble.
Writers write 100 scripts before one is bought.
But that's their time.
Of course they're gambling too.
But there's a safety net for a writer.
What?
And there's no safety,
safety net?
I'm saying
if I wrote
no
10 scripts and no one bought them, no one's paying me, where's my safety net?
Yeah, but that's you chose that line of work.
And producers
go flip
chose
burgers.
Their line
no, wait
of work.
A minute.
Exactly.
Wait a minute.
But you just said
there's a safety net. What's the safety net?
The safety net is that when you're in the union and you're paying your dues, there's health care, there's certain other things like that.
If you make a certain amount of money, if you don't sell any scripts, you don't get that.
Okay. All right. I mean...
Okay, so now the union's good then? Because that's their safety net?
Lightning, let me ask you this because we're running low on time. If you were the studios in this case and you were on the other side of the bargaining table, what would your response be? Would your response be to give in a little and increase that percentage, or would you hold tight and say, nope, 4 cents per DVD is all I'm going to go suck it?
What do you think, Bean?
No, I wouldn't. I mean,
yes,
honestly,
you would.
Lightning is always on the side of big business, no matter whether they're good or not. That is not true. But listen, then you're cutting off your own legs. I mean, at that point, you have no product. I mean, I understand the writers create the product. I'm asking what your solution is for this.
If you have so much sympathy for one side,
they're in a position they have to negotiate. I mean, just doing what they did, which is just saying,
all right,
no, screw
but you're
you.
The judge. You're the judge, and you're the decider, and you get to tell us what happened.
happens.
Can I move out of the country before he becomes the decider?
I know.
How do you resolve it? Like,
it's not a sexy answer, but you have to. I don't have enough information.
Really?
I don't have.
Because yesterday in the office, you had it all.
I never once
you
said
had
I did.
All the information since the
as
topic came up.
As soon as I blurted it out, everyone
all of a sudden,
said.
There's not some information there.
And I said the strike is bogus. Everyone said, ooh, it's dogpile on lightning.
Lightning, you're talking instead of listening. I want to know, since you have such a strong feeling on this, what your solution to the negotiations is. Right now, they're not talking. You say they should negotiate. What, in your estimation, is a fair settlement in terms of DVD sales?
You can end it however you want, and they have to all live with it. Go.
Guys, I don't have one. I can't give you
then
one.
Then get the F out.
I didn't ask for the segment.
No, but I'm saying that how do you know one side is completely bogus?
I think it's listen, at this point, I don't have a choice. I can't undo a union. They're in it.
Really? You don't have that choice? No kidding.
Well, but I'm saying they have to negotiate. It's a point.
But
now,
if you think the writers are bogus, then why don't you make a ruling that, sorry, status quo, period. That's it.
I mean,
we're never going to negotiate. This is the way it's going to be because it's fair.
A judge has all the facts. I don't know how many DVDs are sold. I know. You guys don't know. I don't know any
then
of this stuff.
Shut your goddamn trap.
I didn't ask for
shut
this
your private.
No, we're not talking about this segment. We're talking about in the office.
When you didn't know anymore.
When you know everything in the office.
I don't know everything. I just I screamed out. I said, this is bogus. It's ridiculous. I think they're asking for too much. And then everyone goes, Lightning must know what's going on. Of course they don't know what's going on. But I know my gut feeling about how I feel about
Lightning.
Unions. That's all I know.
Lightning.
And by the way,
first of all, you would sound so much smarter if you had writers. You should think about that. And second of all, you say the writers are asking for too much. I'm giving you the opportunity to tell us what you think is a fair settlement.
Right.
And you won't even do that.
Listen, Ralph just came in. He's going to slaughter me. There's no reason for me to continue.
You've already
talking.
Been slaughtered. Lisa handled
I'm gonna
you.
Slaughter you. I'm going to tell everyone what you said in the office.
Oh, good.
Which
good,
in
good.
Here is I don't have all the answers, good. So I don't know what to think. I don't know what I'm going to be thinking. When in the office you said writers who strike are weaks. If they don't want to be writers, they should go flip burgers. That's what you screamed out loud.
I said that on the air about 5 minutes ago.
Yeah, but
you're go flip burgers.
Yes,
you're
I
way
did.
Softening it though. You're way softening it from you know exactly what's going on.
Well, I don't think it's a right to work state. I think if you are good at what you do, then you will get promoted in business and in life. And if you blow, I don't believe in banding together in this type of environment. I don't think so. I don't agree with it. It's just the way it is. That's the way I think. I don't believe in socialism. You can't
it's
all
not
pile in.
Socialism.
No, that's socialism.
No.
Right.
This is straight
what
socialism.
What I understand is, Lightning, because it's a creative endeavor, you see things like making cars and T-shirts.
Yes,
and
I do.
You don't understand that someone who creates something out of whole cloth, like a writer, is responsible for everything else that goes beyond that. You would have no problem if the steel manufacturers raised the cost of steel in order to make a truck. You would have no problem with that.
Of course
but
I would.
But writers, you see, you can't quite wrap your mind around the process, so you think somehow they don't engage in a worthy endeavor that they should be making a percentage of what these producers are making. Because you see the producers with their big cash and their flashy bling and their cars and their income, and you say, that's who I want to be, that's how I want to live, and you don't recognize that their entire kingdom is built upon the backs of these people.
I want to be that guy, and I want to fire all the writers.
That's not how I feel.
I'll keep the writers down. That's what I'll do.
But if anything, the writers have a valid argument. You want them to work hard and then be promoted. They're working hard, and they're selling more DVDs than ever and getting not
and
compensated
they're not
for that at
right. They're not getting the benefits of their
they
labor.
They are proving their talent, and they're not getting compensated for it.
You know what would be useful information? Not to like. But to those of us that are still thinking about this, useful information would be how many DVDs, like on average, do they sell for a movie? How much do the producers get? We don't know any of that stuff. We know the writers want 8 cents instead of 4 cents.
And
we don't know.
Well, it's a much more fair way to be reimbursed than for the union say now you must pay $1 million a movie script, regardless of how a movie performs. You must pay a writer $1 million per movie script. This way, at least, if it sells a ton of DVDs, if it's a good movie, then the writer gets the benefit of selling more DVDs because more people want to see that product.
Listen, I am not saying that the writers don't deserve money. I didn't say that.
Just not any more money.
I don't believe that the way they're going about it. I don't believe in strikes. I don't believe in any of that stuff.
But you're happy with the deal they negotiated 25 years ago. You think that deal should serve in all eternity.
It needs to be negotiated, period.
Right, but being said, let's say you're a negotiator. Why can't you go, if they want four and they're getting, if they're getting four and they want eight, how about six?
Why can't
you just say that?
I know it makes for good radio. I can't give you that.
Because you don't think they deserve
I don't have the information.
Then stop acting.
But you weren't
like
talking about negotiations when you're mouthing off in the office saying they should all just go flip burgers and screw them and this is bogus. The writers are bogus. They're all weak. That's not the same presentation that you give when you're on the air. You try to softball it.
Yeah.
And the reason we bring you in is because you go shooting off your mouth making these insane statements, and that's what we think is amazing.
Okay, Kevin didn't want me to discuss my belief of unions because it's boring. It's because it's not about the writers specifically.
But you can't talk about it in an interesting way.
I shouldn't be talking about it, but that's what Ralph was talking about. Flipping burgers, it's whatever industry you're in. If you got to create a union in today's society, and
So unions are all bad.
That's the burger reference.
Unions are all
bad. I don't think they're all bad, no, but I think that there's...
All badness about them.
Many, many, yes, are no longer viable.
We're out of time. We're going to have to end it here. But we have heard from several people who work for studios, vice presidents and whatnot, who listen to this show. Let's try to get somebody on, Light. Why don't we try to talk to somebody and hear from them about what these actual figures are of where the money goes.
Why do we need that when we have Lightning?
Well, right. I'm just saying for backup.
He knows all.
Let's maybe work on that for a moment.
Can we talk to some burger flippers, too, and talk about their careers?
Let's bring those two together, since they're apparently going to be doing the same thing soon.
Exactly.
All right. Thank you. You are listening to the Kevin and Bean Show on the world-famous K-Rock 106.7 KROQ. It's a shaky choice, but I think if you stick with it, maybe there'll be some payback.
Okay.
Maybe.
Here's the situation. Jerry Seinfeld, writer, creator, director, star of one of the most successful television shows in history, went off the air 9 years ago now or something like that.
Yep.
Seinfeld did. Been gone for a long time. Yep. And he's done very little. And now he's back with B-Movie, which he has promoted tirelessly. And apparently, the number two movie in the country, not good enough for Jerry. Apparently, he's very, very disappointed. So we wanted to bring him on and find out how making almost $40 million over the weekend is not good enough for Jerry. Good morning, Mr. Seinfeld. How are you?
Good morning, Kevin and Bean. How are you?
Well, we're good.
We're doing fine, but I don't understand where you're coming from on this B-Movie.
I can't understand why we're not number one.
Well, you got $39.1 million. That's almost always number one numbers.
Listen, I am used to being number one.
Right.
When I was on television, we had the number one show.
Right.
Yeah. We did, yes.
Now we're number two.
Everybody knows you were number one except for Larry King. Isn't that interesting?
Can I get a resume in here for Larry? Find out who I am?
Now, the movie that beat you was the R-rated American Gangster.
Yes!
This is Denzel Washington and Russell Crowe.
I didn't see Denzel Washington on NBC once doing a little comedy commercial.
Right.
I didn't see him doing B-Movie Juniors. I didn't see Gangster Movie Juniors.
No, but the thing is that he has an enormous following. He and Russell Crowe are both highly regarded Oscar-winning actors who have a tremendous fan base, and a lot of their people were eager to go out and see what they were up to.
Oh.
Yeah.
It's a black and white thing.
No.
It's like a black and white cookie. I love the black and white cookie. Remember the black and white cookie?
Yeah.
Remember the episode where I tried to get the black and white cookie?
I love
the black and white cookie.
I didn't see that one, Jerry.
The black and the white.
Right.
One side's black, the other one's white.
Right.
Right.
It's the perfect cookie.
But what I'm saying to you, Mr. Seinfeld, is it's no reflection on your movie. Your movie is very popular, and I'm sure will play well throughout the holidays.
It's number two.
Maybe you should have done more promotion.
They have the black and white. I have the black and yellow.
Yes,
they like black and yellow. They like black and white.
Well, I don't think you can say they don't like the colors black and yellow because the B-Movie was not number
one. Why do they like the G's over the B's?
Wow.
Why do they like heroin more than honey? Honey's better for you.
Yes. Okay.
It tastes better than heroin.
Right, but no one is saying that. They'll probably
nobody
go see
heroin on their toast.
Well, of course
that
they
you know
don't.
Of.
Nobody puts heroin in their tea when you have a sore throat.
Right.
You say, oh, I'd like a nice soothing cup of tea. I'm going to put a little heroin inside of it.
Right.
Stir it up, drink it down, yum, yum, yum.
Right, but what does that have to do with movies?
I should be number one.
Well, I don't know what to tell you. Your movie's going to be fine.
I'm Jerry Seinfeld, God damn it.
You are?
Right,
I'm Jerry Seinfeld, God damn it.
You are, yeah.
It's an enormous hit, and I'm sure there are a lot of people who saw American Gangster this weekend that will still go see your movie.
It's not enormous enough, is what I'm saying.
Okay.
Okay, I understand.
I want to be more enormous.
More enormous.
I want to be number one. I don't want to be beat out by an Australian and a black guy.
Okay.
I'm an American institution.
Right.
Yes, you're very popular.
But
Jerry, even...
Bees work so hard.
They
do. You understand?
No, they work hard. We know
that. Bees shouldn't even fly. And yet they do.
Right.
That's amazing to me.
Okay,
they are miracles, yes.
What does that have to do with the people going to see a gangster movie or your movie?
People should go see B-Movie more than gangster movies. That's what I'm saying.
Okay, well, we've gotten the word out.
Gangsters can't fly.
Gangsters cannot fly. That's true.
They do not live in a hive.
That's also true. Hard to argue.
Then that's my point.
Okay. All right. Your point is well taken.
If your are flying and living in hives, making heroin from bee pollen, then no one should go see the movie.
Okay.
Okay. All right. I think we're going to take that into consideration, Mr. Seinfeld.
Understand? Everyone needs to go see my movie.
Right. We got that. We understand.
I want everyone to go to the theaters and ask for their money back. Who saw American Gangster and said, give me my money back, and I want to go see B-Movie instead. Well, I think everybody should go see
Jerry,
B-Movie.
I don't think anyone's...
Oh,
no.
Jerry.
Wow.
Yeah. That's Jerry?
It's a bummer.
Russell Crowe cannot blow up like that.
Jonathan Davis will be here a little bit later on this morning.
That's the dude from Korn, but without Korn. He's going solo for us later on today. Kevin, do you have a clip of what that might sound like, Jonathan Davis singing?
I do not, Bean. I'm sorry to say that clip is not available to us.
Too bad, because it's one of your all-time best impressions. By the way, Lightning stuck his head into the Gorillaz record, said, they shouldn't get paid because they're cartoon characters. Only real people should get paid. I don't think he understands how that band is put together. There it is. There's okay. John Davis right there.
All right,
it's 6:45. Earlier we were talking about Desperate Housewives maybe running into a roadblock, maybe being one of the first new TV shows that's going to have to shut down production because of the writer's strike, because they write their scripts up to pretty close to when they start filming them.
Right.
And apparently that was news to us, and now we're finding out that it is even worse than just Desperate Housewives. I guess there are several shows, Kevin, that have run into the problem where the writers are on strike, they got no scripts, and they're trying to make shows anyway, and that sounds like trouble to me.
Yeah, we've seen some of the publicity DVDs that are out now for some of these TV shows. For example, Prison Break is apparently working very close to the wire, so that when the writers strike, bad things might happen.
Oh no!
We do have a clip of the upcoming Prison Break show.
All right, we've got to get out of this prison. Who's with me?
Me. I'll go with you.
Great. How do we get out of here?
Appear before the parole board and plead our case?
All right. Good idea. When are we up for parole?
5 years.
All right. Then I'd say we all just crack a good book and wait 5 years until we're up for parole.
I just finished with The Secret. You want to read it?
No. I already have The Secret tattooed all over my body. Do you have the new Harry Potter?
Oh, sure, yeah. One second.
See, that's not anywhere near as compelling as the show we know on Fox. I mean, that just without the writers putting those words into the actors' mouths, I think it loses something.
You thought that lost a little something? I thought that was pretty good.
I don't think I'd watch it, tell you the truth.
Ralph's favorite show, House, of course. He's all over. He loves that show.
Yes.
Great show.
And he got us a sneak peek at that one.
Foreman, why did you call me in here?
This woman seems sick.
Why don't you pull back the sheet so we can take a look?
Oh, God!
Yeah, that looks pretty bad.
Yeah. What do you think she has?
The flu?
Foreman, her skin is peeling off.
Yeah. The mumps?
Yeah, it's probably the mumps. Treat her for that. Hey, Cuddy's wearing a tank top.
Let's go take a look.
Now, I might watch that, actually.
No.
I might actually still like that one.
That one may have lost a step or two.
It doesn't have that sharp, crackling, witty repartee that we've come to know from Dr. House. You're right about that.
Now, there are some shows that seem to be able to just use momentum, you know, like a Prison Break or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
But there's a show on right now that's one of our favorites, and it's very complex, Heroes.
Oh yeah.
Lots to keep track of.
A lot of storylines, a lot of things happening. And we have a little sneak peek for what this is going to sound like without writers.
Peter, you're alive. I can't believe it.
That's right, Nathan. And I'm here to save the world.
And how exactly are you going to do that?
By using my powers, I'm going to make a Starbucks run. Anybody want anything?
I'll take one of those ice-blended frozen mochas.
Okay, anyone else? Parkman?
Vente latte.
Got it. Okay. I'm gonna go now.
Good luck, Peter.
It's just not a show. You know what I mean? It's just not a show anymore.
It's disappointing.
It's not as much a show.
No.
Starbucks.
Well, it's only the beginning, folks. I think we got troubles. If you are a Linkin Park fan, as we are, please go to krock.com, Kevin and Bean section, sounds page. You can hear our interview, if you missed it, from yesterday with Mike Shinoda from the band, talking about how the band is raising money to help those affected by the Southern California wildfires. You can go to eBay, too, and look for California Wildfire Relief, and you'll find a bunch of great, great artists from KROQ, material from KROQ artists up there that you can bid on to raise money. So Linkin Park always out there doing their part. It's 6:55. Ralph's here with the Showbiz Beat for a Wednesday. What's going on, Ralph?
I'm donating some firewood to those people down there.
Because they don't have any left.
I'm figured it's all burned up, right? If you want to start a nice fire in your house, going to put, you know, make some s'mores
house.
In the fireplace.
House,
you know, you go outside and chop some wood. It's already burned up. Can't even use it. It's pre-burned. You need some fresh wood.
I'm guessing a lot of people aren't looking to start a fire right now.
Not now, but when the whole thing settles down and it's a cold winter night and they want
that's
some
true.
S'mores,
they'll be grateful.
They'll be grateful.
All right.
I'm thinking ahead. I'm not thinking about the immediate stuff. Oh, sure, I'm going to get them a blanket, a can of peas or whatever they need.
Look down the road. You're right.
Exactly. I look in the future.
You're long term.
Bean, you bought your tickets yet for the Wreck of the Edmund Fitzgerald musical or whatever the hell it is you're going?
Gales of November on stage at Montauk, Wisconsin this weekend. I have not. I have not. I did look into it. It is not yet sold out. I may still go.
It'll be a big theater weekend.
Yeah.
I got tickets for that new Eric Idle play.
The
play
rating
that
they're
doing. Yeah, you were excited about
way
that.
Way better than what Bean's talking about.
Yeah, going Sunday. It's Eric Idle, Eddie Izzard. Billy Connolly, Jane Leaves from Frasier, Tim Curry.
Yeah,
I mean, it's quite the cast.
You win.
Amazing.
But you know who's in the one you want to go to?
I don't know any of the particulars of the people, no.
All right, good.
I'm hoping Sunday.
Singing songs about a shipwreck. So.
I'm hoping Sunday Lightning and Psycho Mike will show up with a camera and ruin that day, too. I'm hoping. Maybe we got a shot for that.
We don't have time to get into that debacle.
Got my fingers crossed.
Right, that's the
come on, fellas.
Scratch Sunday's plan.
Yeah.
Okay.
Anybody who had Rebecca De Mornay in their DUI pool?
No.
No.
Is a big winner.
Shoot.
The 48-year-old actress was pulled over around 10:30 p.m. The night before Halloween. Beverly Hills PD pulled her over. They said they stopped her for an unknown traffic violation. Apparently she had driven up a palm tree. And that's illegal in Beverly Hills.
They don't like that?
I don't know. I don't know what it was. But they said when they pulled her over, they immediately smelled the odor of alcoholic beverages. You know what I do? I just douse my car in alcohol. So when they smell it, it's the car, man. I broke a couple bottles of scotch in here the other day. Dude.
At home and I wasn't driving.
Exactly.
It works every time?
Every time.
They go, okay, go
all right, go ahead. Sorry, sir. Sorry to bother you.
Wow.
You just have scotchy upholstery.
Wow.
It's good advice for the teenagers listening.
I usually just tell them,
this is a mess.
That does not help.
You know, it's true, though. I was bringing home groceries the other day in the trunk, and I had some bottles of wine back there, and a bottle of red wine shattered in my trunk.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that's ugly.
And soaked into the carpet in the trunk area. And nothing really smells as good as old, stale wine that sits in the sun in your trunk for a while.
Your car smells like a homeless guy.
Every time I get in, it smells like a bridesmaid threw up in my back seat. That's it's that old wine smell that you really don't want to live with.
But at least you can get that out easily.
True. That won't linger for the remainder of the life of the car. The police say she had a blood alcohol level of 0.09, which is more than you want.
0.08 is the limit?
Yeah, yeah, exactly. And so she was booked and released by the Beverly Hills PD about 1 a.m. So she's going to have some splaining to do, as Desi Arnaz would say. Here's the thing that's interesting about this American Gangster movie. Not just that it's the number one movie in America.
R-rated.
But that Harlem drug lord Frank Lucas, the basis for the film, was convicted before there was a law banning criminals from profiting from their crimes.
He got money from this?
So far. Frank has made $800,000 from the movie version of his life.
Really? What year did they say you can no longer profit from your crimes?
It varied state to state.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah. But in New York, it was it was after Frank was convicted of his crimes.
New York, it's probably still not a law.
So they had to go to him to get permission to use his story.
And they had to pay him.
And he's making almost $1 million so far. I think he's got a percentage of the deal.
He's still in jail?
I don't know what happened to the real Frank Lucas.
Mm. No, he served his time. He's out.
He's out?
Yeah.
Here's the thing, though. Frank is saying that the movie is about 20% true.
That's it?
That's it.
I wonder what parts are not.
Well, someone did a little research, and they say the real Frank Lucas put a contract out on his own brother.
Oof.
Couldn't read and could barely count.
Wow.
So he's not quite as slick and
the
sophisticated as Denzel Washington.
They overplayed him.
Yeah. They made a pump
By the way, I don't care who you are. If Denzel Washington plays you in a movie, you are the coolest.
That's for sure.
Just go with it.
Yeah, that's like the best thing ever.
He's going with it. He's cashing in. He's just like, yeah, do whatever you want. But that's not really me. That's pretty cool. I've heard Denzel Washington can barely count, too.
Is that right?
Yeah. Wow. In a related story.
I didn't know that.
Star Magazine says that Katie Holmes is jealous of the women that are around her husband, Tom Cruise. Katie thinks Tom is getting too friendly with his co-star in the movie Valkyrie. Carice Van Outen is her name. And apparently the chemistry on the set is getting to Katie. Okay.
Wait for it.
Katie. Really? Really? You're worried about the ladies on the set and your husband? Really?
Come on. You should know.
Come on. Katie!
What are you saying, Ralph?
Come on.
She needs to wake up.
I'm just saying.
Smell the infertility.
I think she's safe.
Allegedly.
I think her marriage is safe.
Allegedly.
From women coming into the marriage. Allegedly. Upsetting the apple cart.
What about her running the New York City Marathon over the weekend?
Yeah.
Katie Holmes. What about
like
that?
Like 8 months after she just had her kid or something.
Yeah.
That's just
is
showing
that crazy?
Off.
She is showing off, yeah. And let's take a look at our Meatloaf update, shall we?
Let's not.
Sad news did break today that Meatloaf has scrapped the rest of his European tour.
Ladies and gentlemen, Meatloaf!
Apparently Meatloaf has has laryngitis. And worse, a cyst on his vocal cords that may need surgery.
Ooh. I like meat.
Meatloaf thanks everyone for their support and says his career is not over. While surgery is usually necessary in cases like this, voice therapy is the first course of action. So in 4 to 6 weeks, we'll be able to decide whether Meatloaf needs the necessary treatment or not.
I'm going to keep my fingers crossed. You know, he has had problems with his throat his whole career. Yeah. I mean, he's almost been out, you know, down for the count a couple of different times because of problems with his throat.
I have a question. Mm-hmm. He's still alive?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, and still rules, by the way, and still is awesome.
That is our Meatloaf update.
All right.
Tomorrow, I will give you the latest in the Meatloaf.
Don't.
Meatloaf Watch 2007.
Don't feel like we need that.
Loaf Watch.
Don't feel like we need that.
Doug Kriegel will be outside Meatloaf's hospital room seeing how he's faring.
Doug Kriegel actually could
have some cysts on his vocal cords need to be looked at.
Yeah,
I think.
True point.
Yeah. Today's celebrity birthday is the London twins, Jeremy and Jason. Jeremy was in Party of Five, I know that. Mm-hmm. Jason was in Carrie 2, I think.
Okay.
That's quite the career.
And one of them was in Dazed and Confused.
Okay. And one of them was a regular on Buffy the Vampire Slayer?
Right. One of them was.
Right.
But they're twins, so I can't tell you which one that was. But it was one of them.
Is there no way to research any of this stuff on
the
birthdays?
No, there are no
in?
Tools available for things like that.
Nope.
All right.
We're just flying blind.
Just checking.
We're just
seems
going.
Like we spent a lot of time trying to figure out what they were.
We are off instruments, as they say. They're both 35 years old today. And Christopher Knight, I know what he did. He played Peter Mother Effin Brady on the Brady Bunch.
Yeah!
You know, there's only a handful of us actors who have played Peter Brady, and it's quite the fraternity to be a part of.
You get together like once a year?
We do. We have our little Peter meeting.
Yeah.
We get together, have a Peter off.
Michael Mike has a little Peter meetings, too.
Yeah, I bet he does.
How many times on stage did you play the part of Peter Brady?
I played Peter Brady well over 100 times on stage across this
How
great country
that?
Of ours.
Very yeah. impressive.
What was your bringing home moment? What was your line that just nailed it?
Oh, gosh.
You were guaranteed chicks after saying that.
I guess we'd have to be, time to change!
Yes.
When Peter's voice changes.
Did you ever knock out Buddy Hinton on stage?
I never did, no. I never got to do the baby talk episode. We just did Time to Change and... of course, Davy Jones. Davy Jones, Marsha taking Davy Jones to the prom or whatever the F that episode was.
I don't know.
But Davy Jones really was on
Davy Jones played himself on stage with us in colleges across the U.S. Davy Jones of the Monkees. That's where his career was.
Yeah. All right.
Yeah, good times.
Guy showed what he's made of, and it's mostly heart.
That's true. Mm-hmm. He's a little guy, but he's got a lot of heart. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Asperger's syndrome is a mild and rare form of autism. It is typically characterized by difficulty establishing friendships and playing with peers, trouble accepting conventional social rules, and they dislike any change in setting or routine.
All right, that was from the TV show House just last season, and we've been hearing a lot about the Asperger's syndrome on this program
because
you guys mistakenly believe that I have it. I don't, of course, but I am very excited to welcome to the show somebody who does and has written a book about it, too. His name is John Robison. The book is in stores now called Look Me in the Eye, My Life with Asperger's. Good morning, John. Welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show on K-Rock.
Good morning. Thanks for having me on this morning.
Of course.
I have not read your book yet. I am fascinated in the topic and I'm very much looking forward to it. But it's interesting that how old a guy are you, John?
I'm 50.
Okay,
and I learned about Asperger's when I was 40.
That was what I was going to say. So when you were young and coming up, you must have just confounded people with your strange ways because there wasn't such thing that was known as Asperger's back then, right?
That's correct. They didn't have the diagnosis of Asperger's until I was 35 years old. And people like me were just kind of misfits.
Tell us, for people who don't know what this is, because I just discovered it recently, too, describe what Asperger's is. And it's not, by the way, it's not A-S-S-B-U-R-G-E-R-S like you would hope. It's A-S-P.
Well, okay. It's A-S-P-E-R-G-E-R.
Right.
It's named for a fellow, Hans Asperger, a Austrian medical doctor who characterized it back in the 40s.
And what is it, for people who don't know?
It's an autistic condition. Autism means essentially that your brain is wired different.
Okay.
You know, one way I might describe it is people say he's really smart with numbers or he's got a photographic memory or he's really good at remembering or figuring these things.
Right.
You have all different components of intelligence. The average person, if you looked at their intelligence in this category, in this category, in this category, you might draw a little wavy line that's mm-hmm. the graph of what they're smart at and what they're not.
Right.
When you take a person with Asperger's, it's not a wavy line. It's a jagged mountain range. And in the area of social skills, somebody could be 40 years old and have the social skill of a child. But they mm-hmm. could be the most brilliant person in the world
okay.
on a topic like battery technology or abstract mathematics.
Now when I started learning about Asperger's, that's when I realized that my partner Bean has it in a really, really strong way. And we went through a checklist with Bean and we asked him the questions about it. And 31, I think, is considered Asperger's, 31 out of 50. Bean had 42. And yet he denies it to the death. Did you have trouble accepting Asperger's when you found out about it at 40?
Well, I think when people talk about it as you've got this disorder or you've got this crippling deficiency, nobody would like to hear that. But if you recognize that Asperger's is really a way of thinking differently, and just as it can be a handicap for you, it can also bestow rare gifts. You know, they say that much creative genius that moves our world forward comes from people with Asperger's. They talk about folks like Newton having Asperger's hundreds of years ago and developing the theory of gravity. Today they talk about Bill Gates being another guy who is undiagnosed and Aspergian.
Interesting. I had not heard that about Bill Gates because most of us just think of him as just a super geek guy, just a guy who discovered computers early on and spent so much time of his life working on that that he neglected the social skills that the rest of people grow up and learn. But you heard it might be Asperger's, huh?
Maybe it's the other way around. Maybe geek really is a word for Asperger's. And, you know, Asperger's isn't you have it or you don't kind of thing. It's a gradual continuum. And one reason that my book reaches so many people with its stories is that millions and millions of people have a touch of Asperger's in them. Maybe not enough that a medical doctor would say, you, sir, have Asperger's.
Right.
But you certainly can recognize the thinking.
And some of the ways that it shows itself, you write in your book about when you're a kid. Everybody, as a matter of fact, the title of the book is Look Me in the Eye. When you were a kid, you didn't look anyone in the eye, which Bean doesn't either, by the way. And your parents and your teachers and everybody pretty much pigeonholed you as a future serial killer.
Well, you know, people are very willing to look for the worst in you if you don't do what they expect. And I think that one message in my book is that we need to be much more tolerant and understanding of differences in our children, because it can be very hard to grow up as a child and be ridiculed. That's, you know, one of the things I talk about quite a lot in Look Me in the Eye.
Hey, John, if people were tuning in to hear this interview, and if you're just joining us, Mr. Robeson has written a book called Look Me in the Eye, My Life with Asperger's, available in stores and online everywhere now. They would hear a guy who sounds smart, confident, articulate. They would have never have any reason to suspect that there's something, quote unquote, wrong with you. How about when people meet you in person? Is it obvious to others that you have Asperger's, or do you blend in pretty well socially now as an adult?
You know, my brother said something like that to me when I wrote my book. He said to me, he said, you should write a book and tell the world about Asperger's when I talked about writing my stories. And I said, how would I do that? I'm not a doctor. I don't know how to write about Asperger's. And he said, well, just tell the stories that you used to tell me when I was a kid. You'd come home from being on tour with Kiss or doing all the other crazy things you did. And anyone who listens to those stories will see what's wrong with you.
John's brother, Augustine Burroughs, wrote Running with Scissors. And you, tell us about your days with Kiss. You toured with them. You worked with them. What did you do with Kiss?
I made all of the guitars that Ace played that lit up, shot rockets, blew flames, did wow. disco light patterns on New York Groove. I created all those.
How do you get that gig?
Well, you know, I was working for Pink Floyd Sound Company designing PA systems and special effects for them. Mm-hmm. And they had a big rehearsal studio in Long Island. And Kiss came in and rented the studio from us, and I got to talking to Ace.
Wow. That's one of those things where if you have Asperger's, you might have trouble having normal communications with other people. Like, you don't talk yeah. about the things they want you to talk about, Bean, and you don't care what they think, Bean, you know, that kind of stuff.
Right.
But you're brilliant in certain areas, and you seem to have been able to follow those areas that you're brilliant in, John, and kind of make it work for you.
You know, it's really a matter of taking the strengths that Asperger's gives me and finding places where people will appreciate that. You know, I'm really a very creative person. I'm full of ideas. And, you know, folks like Kiss could appreciate that.
Well,
working in an accounting office, I would be an absolute total failure.
Yeah.
Right. I just got to find that thing I'm good at, Kevin. That's the yeah. that's the difference between me and John, is that he's figured out what he's good at.
John, is it?
I may have to read the book.
John, is it true that you have trouble calling people by their real names and you refer to your wife as Unit 2? Or is that, is that a joke?
I refer to her as Unit 2 because she's one of a set of three sisters. The oldest one is Unit 1, and the youngest one is Unit 3. So what else would she be but Unit 2?
Do they have those names, or you call them that?
Well, they have those names now. The
because
names
you call them
The book looks fascinating. It's available everywhere now. Look Me in the Eye, My Life with Asperger's. Interesting stuff. John Robison, our guest. Thank you for joining us on the Kevin and Bean Show on K-Rock.
Thanks for having me on.
Thanks very much.
Right now, the Kevin and Bean Afro Line. Oh, and Harvey Levin from TMZ.com in just a few moments on the Kevin and Bean Show, too. Right now, the Afro Line, 323-520-AFRO. 24 hours a day, you call us, leave a message, we put it on the radio.
Lisa May is the person who has bad TV taste.
Oh, my God, Lisa May. This Carpooler show, it sucks.
You didn't get to the part where they zoom down the road in the carpool lane and they pass all the other cars. It's so funny. He clearly didn't hang the whole 30 minutes.
If we were traffic reporters, would we find the show entertaining? Is that what it is? You have to have that special skill set.
It gives me an edge. There's no doubt.
Sure it does. I didn't know this could happen through the radio.
Hey, I was listening to an AIS commercial. And I got the pink eye. Oh, damn it.
Lightning.
That's
Stop
tough.
It.
That's very contagious, though. We warned you.
Yep. Talking about the King of Mexico and how he can't speak right. He's got all kinds of pronunciation problems.
Hey, Dave, don't trip, eh? Your accent's okay. Look at Tito. He's got a living.
So, number three, listen, mija. Grab your ankles, say su puteras in the air. Wando jumbo, jack in the jacuzzi. Is one of high nine.
Okay,
so
but
number three,
Tito,
boke boke button te di pussycat dolls.
Right,
loosen
but Tito,
up my buttons, Haina.
What?
But, he has ex- but what I'm
it's
saying is Tito has an excuse because English is his second language. It's understandable, it's permissible that his English is substandard. Dave only speaks English and speaks it poorly.
Yes. Yeah, they've got Fs in Spanish in high school.
and Tito is getting better.
Nope.
The more he's
getting
in
worse.
Country, he's Dave
nope.
getting worse.
Yeah, he's getting worse as well, unfortunately.
Dave also got Fs in English in high school.
That's true.
Good
yeah,
point.
That is true.
Santa Monica! Ah! Woo! I don't get it.
Yeah. We'll explain one day.
Okay.
We will.
Two girls in
a... Yeah,
oh,
we don't
come on. Please don't ever bring that up again.
Bean has a huge problem with people putting the S on the end of daylight saving.
Yes.
Daylight savings time. Daylight savings time. Daylight savings time.
Is that like your moist bean?
Yeah.
That cuts me to the core. Really does.
Falls to the ground.
Hey, Bean, just a reminder.
I know everyone hates your Halloween song and all, but after Halloween, you've got to get your Gordon Lightfoot out. November 10th, Rickety and Minch Fitzgerald. Let's not forget.
Like, dude, he's going to forget about that. He's been torturing us off the air about how he might go there this weekend. We know he's not going to, so he owes us really money for our time
I agree.
Lost.
I agree.
The problem is that the memorial ceremony at the Shipwreck Museum at the exact same time that the Gales of Dover stage show is going on in another state. I can't do both. What
Once
do I do?
Once again, I am amazed at the level of blithering idiocy that issues from your pie hole.
Hi, this message is for Lisa May and or Psycho Mike, both of which are experts in the field. Now, after receiving double... Does your rectum return to size, or is it forever obliterated?
I'm going to say no.
No?
You will look like a bloodhound back there forever.
Okay.
That's not true. As a participant in Butthole Week,
oh, yeah?
If you do the exercises properly and you're in the right shape, everything goes back to normal.
I don't know who you're participating with.
This, don't take your body for granted is what Lisa's saying. You got to treat it right.
Exactly.
This basketball season so far is not shaping up as I had hoped.
What L.A. team is undefeated? That's right. Clippers! Play the talk. Later.
But isn't that Dave? Isn't he the only one who's out there waving the Clipper flag about them being undefeated?
Hey, the king of Mexico, your song rocks, brother. Yeah! Yeah!
Like I always do at this time, I came to rhyme. The Clips are gonna shine.
Now throw your hands up in the sky.
I came to rhyme. The Clips are gonna shine.
Now throw your hands up in the sky. We're gonna miss you, baby.
The same team, but I hold on to my dream. A championship rings. The Clip Alive. This team is blue collar. Don't make them big dollars. Still make the fans holler. The Clip Alive. We'll still beat LA. We'll still beat Portland. We'll still beat Seattle. But the playoffs are all that matter. Yeah.
Now throw your hands up in the sky.
So we're not that good, but we'll play with heart like you know they could. Proudly. And when we get brand, he'll turn around, we'll be playoff bound. Party. Then Levy said, go ahead and switch the team up, and if they hate, then let them hate and watch the wins pile up. Clip Alive, that's the way I live, and you know I'm gonna drive Kevin crazy.
Yeah.
And I can't wait to watch the games of Kristen Bell, my baby. And if you're feeling me now, put your hands up in the sky and let me hear you say, hey, hey. Hey, we're good.
Stop it. Let's go to the phones. Harvey Levin, TMZ.com, the entertainment website of record, and of course, TMZ TV on Channel 11 each weeknight at 6:30. Harvey, welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show. How are you, my friend?
Good morning, guys. Morning, Lisa May.
Hi, Harvey.
Got any birthday?
I'm sorry, whose birthday is it?
Our birthday.
No kidding.
Tomorrow, we're 2 years old.
Nice.
That's 2 years how old? About that? How about possible? That?
I don't remember a time before TMZ.com.
Yeah, I don't either.
It's so weird. It's like you guys have always been there. It's only your second anniversary?
I know. It's, you know what? It feels like it.
Wow.
It does. Harvey, what did we used to do 3 years ago to get information from the internet?
I don't know. It's really it really is amazing to me that it's 2 years. So did you guys by chance go on the website yesterday and see what we had at the Ivy?
I don't know.
It was so funny. We're doing this new thing now that every day we're going to have a lot. We're going to have live streaming video at, you know, different places around lunchtime, and then we're going to do it at night too.
That's smart.
So we went to the Ivy yesterday. So it's just kind of fun, like from noon to two, to see whether, you know, you see celebrities going in there.
Right.
Well, the Ivy finally met a camera it didn't like. And they were, like, crazed. People started calling them saying, you guys are on TMZ Live. So they started putting all these umbrellas and got, like Christo. So all these white umbrellas, they're trying to cover the restaurant like there's some kind of criminal thing
going
on.
That's awesome.
Why would they care? They don't care if photographers are out there all day, every day, taking pictures of everybody who comes in and out. Why would they care if you're streaming it?
It was so weird. I just don't think they were used to it. So we're going out again today.
Harvey's got connections that are scary. And that's why we like to go to him, because tell us about this David Copperfield stuff. You got all of the paperwork, and it's a little scary the lengths that he would go to score women.
Well, I mean, it's unbelievable. There's this document we got called Show Participation, and it It institutionalizes, at least this is the way I see it. Now, Copperfield denies this, but...
Wait a minute. Hang on, Harvey. Does he deny that this paperwork is from him?
No. He acknowledges that, but we got a letter from his lawyer, and basically they're saying, look, he meets lots of audience members, and it was a twisted claim that it's a dating service.
Ah.
But when you read this thing... Come on. I mean, basically, it's how the assistants are supposed to bring these women backstage, that if David's interested in one of them, but there are two women together, you bring one back as a lost leader. You keep the boyfriends and husbands at bay in the arena. I mean, then you tell these women that there may be a job waiting for them in the Bahamas.
Yeah. They had brochures
from the Bahamas. So, I mean, it is, I've never seen anything like it, but it is just, it's institutionalized in great detail how women are supposed to come backstage and hook up with David. So we get a letter yesterday from his lawyer who basically says that this document was the basis of an extortion attempt by a disgruntled former employee, and they think that this employee may have given the document to us once the extortion didn't work.
But it's still a real document, though.
It's a real document, and listen, that's not the way we got it, but... I don't know about the extortion attempt. I think it's interesting that somebody may have done it, but this is absolutely a legit document.
People don't realize anytime there's a legal document being written up, it's typed in the newsroom at TMZ.com at the same time that it's typed and signed in any law office anywhere in the country. So he gets it automatically.
True.
So you know.
Now, last time we had you on, or maybe a couple times ago, Harvey, when we were talking about David Copperfield, you had already at that time been in contact with several other women who weren't claiming sexual assault, but had gone through this process of being approached by Copperfield's people and tried to, you know, he wanted to go out with them and stuff like that. Has anyone else made a claim of sexual impropriety beyond the woman involved in the original lawsuit that we know of?
Absolutely not. And we've been talking now to a bunch of women. I mean, I think it's pretty clear that he has used the show to meet women. And, you know, in fairness to him, how many rock stars do the same thing? So,
but he takes it to a really creepy, desperate level.
It's a strange level of how to keep the boyfriend or husband away, and you bring two
but
different
But none
cameras.
Of that is illegal, though.
No,
it's creepy,
but disgusting.
None of that's illegal.
None of it's illegal, and we've talked to a bunch of women. What's interesting is it's totally consistent with this document we have, just in terms of the way it happens, the way they go backstage. And one woman, we haven't put this up on the website or the television show yet, but one woman actually did go to the Bahamas, and we're not allowed to use her stuff yet.
Oh,
but
okay.
She actually went. But there was no allegation that he attacked her or anything like that. The only one that we've ever heard of is this woman who's making the claim from Seattle.
Okay.
Well, because most women, as we've talked about on the show before, most women who accept the offer to go to the Bahamas with David Copperfield as a pickup go expecting to have sex. There's no reason for assault to break out because that's why they know they're going.
Yeah, I mean, how dumb could they possibly be?
Right. Now, what is the status of the case and the investigation against Copperfield now?
Well, it seems like there's a grand jury looking at this thing, but this is a serious federal investigation. I mean, they really are taking this thing seriously. The FBI is involved in it.
You don't want to hear the letters FB and I, I don't think.
No, you don't want to hear FB and I.
No.
But they are, you know, they are involved in it. And, you know, we talked about this a couple of weeks ago, that when they did the search, they seized digital camera equipment and a computer hard drive. And it's totally consistent with what happens at the show,
right,
where the pictures are taken in a digital camera and then they fill out a questionnaire and all that stuff goes into a computer. So maybe the same MO happened with this accuser as with a lot of the other women. The only issue is this alleged sexual attack.
Right. Well, I still predict a large check will somehow be written and this will all go away and probably soon.
I do not know.
It's hard to make the FBI go away that way, I think.
But if the woman won't testify, yeah, for instance,
right,
you know, if she gets paid off.
Yeah, I mean, it's all about, you know, it's a him versus her. And if she, I don't know what's going to happen with this. I mean, I don't know whether she'll settle or what, but it's just bizarre.
All right, it is creepy. It is creepy, especially since, as we've talked about, he's a good-looking, young, rich, successful, well-spoken guy who ought to be able to get any chick he wants anyway.
Which, by the way, is going to be his
best. What? What? Did you get out of delay?
Yes.
Let's talk about Dog the Bounty Hunter, I said.
No.
What's wrong with
not
you
what
people?
You said.
Harvey?
Uh-huh.
Harvey?
Harvey doesn't want to be part of this, and neither do I.
Let's talk about Dog the Bounty Hunter.
Oh, that's not what you said, Kevin.
What are you talking?
Yeah, I
know. Help me here.
I don't know. He bleeped it, so it didn't go on the air.
Let's talk about Dog the Bounty Hunter.
Bounty.
Who's going to be on Larry King tonight.
Okay.
You're okay,
come
Harvey.
On, Harvey. Are you out?
I'll slap him for you.
Okay. Well, you know, it's weird. And here's what's weird about it. I mean, clearly he made the comments. I mean, who's going to believe that he's never said that before in his life?
Right.
Obviously, he said it a lot.
Right, of course.
You know, it's interesting that, you know, he's now acting like, oh, I kind of pretended to be, you know, black as if I was allowed to say it. And it's kind of a feeble defense. But we put one of his sons in the air yesterday.
Oh.
And it was really crazy because this kid is saying, my dad's not a racist, he doesn't have a shaved head, and he doesn't like Hitler, so he can't be a racist, which was kind of a weird gold standard by which you measure
racism. Wait a minute. Wait a minute. That's what his son said?
Yeah. On the show,
and that's fantastic.
The website. No, you got to go to the website and listen to this interview because it's crazy.
I got stuck on the Gwen Stefani video. I couldn't get to anything else on your site.
the other thing is, where the hell is Jesse Jackson and Al Sharpton?
It is
sure
weird.
Quiet.
It is weird. You're right about that. I don't know. Well, I just hope that Larry King handles the topic with a little more delicacy than Kevin did this morning, Harvey. That's all we can hope for is tonight on the show on CNN. But
it's clearly, hey, Kev, it's nice knowing you.
It's clearly a joke.
Nice working with you, Kevin. Thanks, Harvey.
See you guys.
You are listening to the Kevin and Bean Show on the world famous
K-Rock.
106.7 KROQ at 7:58.
Damn. It's going to be the Ralph and Bean Show soon, I'll tell you that. Wow. Those were listening to the last segment there.
You heard Bean.
What are you talking about?
Wow.
Can you believe that?
Stupid
wow.
Bean.
That's just dumb.
That's what I'm saying. That's my point.
7:58 KRQFM Pasadena, Los Angeles. If you don't know what we're talking about, you can call Kevin at home. He'll have plenty of time starting tomorrow. Jonathan Davis from Korn is going to be performing live and interviewed coming up after the news. First, Ralph is here with the Showbiz Beat for Wednesday morning.
Day 3 in what seems like an endless writer's strike. It's Writer's Strike 2007.
Yeah.
Here's your writer's chance update. Yesterday I brought you the fact that the writers were picketing outside of Paramount Studios, saying the following: who's got more money than they can count? Paramount.
Right. That's the first one that you got.
Yeah. Today, if you go to Warner Brothers Studios there in Burbank, you will see strikers converging on a house which serves as a location for Desperate Housewives. Outside, the 30 or so strikers are chanting, "We write the story, Eva Longoria."
Are you sure they were doing that?
Yeah.
That's not true.
It is true.
I heard the tape on the CBS News yesterday. I heard the actual audio of them doing it.
Yeah.
These are writers.
People, you're writers. Please, have some pride in your craft. I know you're not getting paid for it, but still. Show some class, will you? Come up with something.
They do write the story, though. I mean, that's hard to argue.
They do write the story, but... Amy Fisher doesn't want you to see her banging her husband on a videotape. For those of you who don't recall the name Amy Fisher, she was famous, I don't know, 15 years ago? 15 years ago?
10, 15 years ago, yeah.
When she shot the wife of her boyfriend, Joey Buttafuoco.
In the head.
In the head, yeah.
She was the Long Island Lolita.
Yes, she was,
that's
Lisa.
Right.
That's exactly what she was.
Right.
Well, she did her time and then moved on with her life and married a cop named Louis Ballera. They broke up, and now Lewis has sold their homemade sex videos to the Red Light District Video Company, people who brought us One Night in Paris and One Night in China. And
now, what are the rules on that? Do both participants have to sign off, Ralph, or can the husband say, hey, I shot the video, I own the video, I can do whatever I want with it?
I believe that is for a judge to decide. Right. That's what Amy thinks, too, because she filed the lawsuit in federal court in New York, claiming that he has no right to sell the video, and he entered into a contract with Red Light without her permission, and so therefore there should be a restriction on that release.
I would not cross Amy.
No.
It's just stupid.
She has shot someone in the face.
Because you know what happens? You're sitting at home, right? And you open the door, bang!
ring. That's how she greets you at the door.
That's right.
Face full of lead.
Second time's always easier, right?
Face full of hot lead. That's what you get.
And you guys are talking like this for the rest of your life.
Oh, that's so sad.
If you just talk like this, I've forgiven her. I think this is fantastic.
You talk like that if you're lucky.
Really?
Yeah.
Hey, so. She's learned that she can do the time and survive it and move on.
Yep. Well, don't do the crime if you can't do the time.
That's what
don't
I've heard.
Don't do it.
That's what I
Well, Lisa's
heard.
On fire nice. Today, which is good because we're going to need her to step up her part of the show with Kevin gone.
That's fire, right. Yeah.
Jessica Simpson may have a new boyfriend. Woody Harrelson.
No.
What?
No. Really? Star magazine really says they were both on the set of Willie Nelson's latest video, and Woody kept hitting on Jess, asking them to get together. The word is that Jessica politely turned him down, however.
Sure.
Listen, Jessica, don't be an idiot. Woody Harrelson's the only guy who's stoned enough to be able to listen to you without throwing up.
That is a good point.
He's so high, he won't know how obnoxious you are.
Yeah.
It's the perfect man for you. Reconsider.
You know, it seems like that once Woody Harrelson got heavy into the pot, and he's a huge proponent of the hemp, as you know, that's where it seems like that's what he spends all of his time doing. He's either talking about it or smoking pot. When was the last time the dude was in a movie?
That's a good point.
I guess it was the Prairie Home Companion movie.
Oh, yeah. That's right. He was
in
that
with John C. Reilly.
A couple of years ago, yeah.
Too busy token. It's all right with me. Hayden Panettiere is great.
Yes.
It's not news.
No.
However, a great little story in the news how apparently the paparazzi were parked outside of her house waiting for her. And you know how some people react to that.
Not good. Happy.
Not well.
Not well.
Hayden ordered up a dozen pizzas or so for the photographers, then went out there and personally served them pizza while they were waiting for her.
Wow. Why encourage them?
They're never
going to
leave,
get that.
Are they? They're like feeding a stray dog.
Like feeding a raccoon. You'll never get rid of them now.
Kidding? Hayden's feeding you?
But look, if you want them to be on your side, I guess that's one way.
That
right?
is, yeah.
Yeah.
Ralph, have you seen the video of her in Japan just laying on the beach, just crying her beautiful little eyes out over the whales that they caught and killed right
the
there?
The dolphins?
Oh. Yeah, very heartbreaking video.
God, I hate the Japanese.
I know. I don't blame you after seeing this, but so sad.
Japanese made Hayden cry.
The ones that are killing dolphins.
Whatever.
Very small part.
How do you sort them out?
Some are killing. Some are killing
dolphins.
There's
so many of them. You can never, like, this is run around.
99.9% aren't.
Just run around. Blending together.
What's wrong with you?
I'm just saying, let's get a couple bombs and finish the job.
Oh! Know what I'm boy, Lisa's really going to have to step up now.
It's just me and Bean,
all right,
Mike.
Ralph and Bean at home.
Good.
Who would have thought I'd be the last guy left being politically correct?
I'm sorry, I didn't
Asperger's
mean that.
Asperger's guy.
I was just caught up in the passion of Hayden Panettiere crying.
Of course. Well, this video, she's crawling out of the water, and it's just blood red from all these dolphins that they just slaughtered for meat. I guess they kill them for meat, and it's just horrible.
All right, I changed my mind. Get some bombs and go back and finish the job.
Yeah.
Woo! Let's fire up the Enola Gay, boys. We're going back.
Don't trust the yellow man.
It's probably only a few people.
Oh.
Yeah.
Well, all right, then. If they give them up, then we won't bomb them.
Okay.
How about that? That's
word to the wise. Remember Pearl Harbor.
You hear that, Japan? You're on notice. Give us those fishermen. Or shock it all. Can't wait till
it's like when you're in class, when you're in school, and they say,
right.
If I don't know who did it, you're all going to be punished.
You're all going to get punished. That's right. So someone better point out the bad fishermen. You got 8 minutes.
That's
go.
It?
Go! Huh? Japan, go! You're on the clock. Today's celebrity birthday is Christopher Knight. He was Peter Brady on the Brady Bunch. He's 50 years old today. The London Boys, Jeremy and Jason, both attractive young actors who have done things we've established, and we can't tell which one was which.
Mm-hmm.
But they're both 35 years old today.
Well, there's no way to tell. I mean, whichever one shows up, how do you know? You don't know.
And just an aside to all our Japanese friends out there who may be listening, the previous comedy was just that.
Yeah.
I have no intention of actually bombing your country.
Shouldn't have to say that, and yet we do. Seem
I know.
To.
I as I said it, I sense, you know, most people probably know I'm just effing around.
Yes.
Sure.
But there will be some angry emails in my inbox.
Same with Bean 15 minutes ago, same thing.
So I'm just trying to preempt.
Same thing.
And to disarm the situation by letting them know that, of course, that was being facetious for comedy's sake.
There are things you should be upset about. This may not be one.
I don't think Kevin was joking with the N-word, though. I think he really meant it. I think he meant it.
Why would
it sounded to me like he meant it.
Let me tell you, my friends from Japan, love your toilets. for instance.
Oh, the Toto.
The Toto.
Yes,
you people have ass cleaning down to a science, and I hold you in high regard in that area. So there's plenty of places where we have some common ground. A water spout on my brown eyes, one of them.
Okay, I think when you get out in the world a little more, you'll discover that not all well-dressed, articulate, detail-oriented men are gay. Many of them are just Asian.
There you go. That's another thing you got going for you.
So what about the eight-minute thing?
Nah, it's all called off.
Okay.
We cool? We cool, Japan? All right, then.
I'm Ralph Garman. We cool.
Oh, thank you, Japan. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
When we heard that our friend Jonathan Davis from the band Korn was going out on a solo tour, we thought, that sounds interesting. We'd like to find out more about that. And that's what we're doing here this morning, ladies and gentlemen. Jonathan has joined us in the studio, the world-famous K-Rock.
Hello, everybody.
Nice to see you, John. How you feeling? How you doing?
I'm a little tired, but I'm great. I'm feeling good.
Yeah?
Yeah, yeah.
You got a kick-ass band like Korn behind you. What makes you say, I got this one, guys?
Well, I wanted to do this for a long time. I did a movie, a score for a movie called Queen of the Damned.
Right.
This was back a couple years. And I wrote original songs for it. I never got to perform them. So I wanted to go out and do that.
That was how this whole thing started?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Queen of the Damned?
Queen of the Damned stuff. So I did that. And there was only about 6-7 songs that I could perform. That's not enough to do a set. So I said, I wanted this to be an acoustic thing. I'm going to go out and play these songs. I'm going to do some rare Korn B-sides and do some covers. Once we got to rehearsals, it kind of turned into this hybrid acoustic weird mesh of, I don't know what to call it, because it's not really acoustic anymore.
Everybody, it's still heavy, right?
It always does change, right?
Yeah, it's still heavy.
Are there a lot of people who are, if they're the lead singer of a band, they kind of feel secure in hiding behind that wall of noise?
Mm-hmm.
It's more risky to go out like you're doing.
Yeah, it is. But I mean, after I did, we did that AOL Sessions thing and we did MTV Unplugged, it really turned me on. I like it. I like doing it. You can hear my voice, and it's totally, completely different from what Korn does.
Right.
I wouldn't want to go out and try and do the same thing without my boys behind me. So this is something completely different.
I remember when you were kind enough, you and the guys, to do breakfast with Kevin and Beam around the Unplugged time. Remember we did that? And that was so awesome. I mean, it was just amazing to hear those songs and those arrangements, and it was obvious how much time you guys had put into turning them into acoustic numbers. And I remember at the time you said, I am so looking forward to getting out there and rocking. I just can't wait to put down this acoustic guitar and just get out there and just kill it.
That's right.
It was.
And I guess you kind of did that with the Untitled album. You guys went out and did a 30 dates or whatever it was, right?
Yeah, we've been on like 6-7 months going on that.
Yeah, you got a little bit of that out of your system, and now you're ready to kind of do a hybrid, like you said. It's sort of acoustic, but also sort of heavy at the same time. And it must be so neat to be able to go back to all periods of your songwriting and choose from wherever you feel like.
Yeah, it is. It's an amazing feeling.
How much of this stuff are average Korn fans going to not recognize? I mean, is there any new stuff, for example, that you've written for this project, or any stuff that you used that you wrote for Queen of the Damned or whatever didn't get on the soundtrack?
Yeah, there's one song called "Careless," which was not used on Queen of the Damned, which no one's heard before, and some covers that I'm doing. I'm doing a cover of "Blue Monday" from New Order. It's really slowed down, really cool.
No
version.
Way.
Yeah, and I'm doing "The Chauffeur" from Duran Duran.
No kidding.
How about that?
I'm doing a cover of "Lover in the Rocks" too. Sorry.
I wouldn't peg you as a of Love on the Rocks. Is that what you just said?
Neil Diamond.
The Neil Diamond song?
No kidding.
You're doing Love on the Rocks?
Yeah.
I can't wait to hear that.
I did that for Wonderland, the movie Wonderland. It was on the Wonderland soundtrack at the end.
Oh, that's right. I have that. That's right. I forgot. I would not have pictured you as a Duran Duran fan. It seems to me like you and your... I just figured you as a guy, you and your friends would just want to beat the crap out of Duran Duran. Yeah. But
no.
When you say your favorite band ever.
They were my favorite band.
Right. I mean, I heard those words.
Yeah, ever.
I mean, I heard you say that and all.
Ever.
But
it's one of the favorite bands ever.
Is it sarcastic?
No, really. I really love Duran Duran. I loved them since I was a kid growing up. I remember the first time I got to hang out with Simon. It was in Europe. It was at Brown's nightclub, and I almost crapped myself.
You're still talking as if you're being serious.
I swear to God, man.
Wow.
I
did.
Korn, when I got into Korn is when I first like, heavy music I really ever got into was Pantera's Vulgar Display of Power.
Mm-hmm.
Before that, it was Flock of Seagulls, Duran Duran, you know, Susie and the Banshees, all that stuff. I was like a new romantic kid in Bakersfield.
about that?
Pretty well, you, out
then,
there.
Then you got beat up your fair share of time.
I got beat up all the time, bro.
that's interesting. Well, I'd love to hear that. That's amazing. That sounds like it's going to be way cool.
It's cool, man. It really is.
Now, you're going to do some live music, but first, you have some solo dates that are coming to Southern California. December 4th at the Orpheum Theater in downtown Los Angeles.
Mm-hmm.
December 7th at the Galaxy Theater in Santa Ana. And December 8th at the Majestic Theater in Ventura.
Yes.
And you can get – are those tickets on sale now?
Yes, they are.
And get them at Ticketmaster.
Mm-hmm.
I believe we have some. Can we find out how many to give away right now as well for Jonathan Davis fans?
Hang on. I'll do this so no one will know. Hey, guys, do we have any tickets to give away for five pair. Okay, good. Five pair, Bean.
All right. 1-800-520-1067 if you want to go see this very, very special night with Jonathan Davis and the band. And by the way, you can call right now and win those tickets. Tell me about this band, by the way, because you don't have Korn, so you go out and hand-pick guys that are perfect for what you're looking for.
Yeah.
Who'd you get?
Well, first off, I got on drums Mike Jokum. Everybody knows him as Pig. He was the in the backup band with Korn. He was a percussionist.
Okay.
I got Zach Baird, which is Horse. Everybody knows him. He's the keyboard player in our backup band.
Okay.
I got Miles Mosley, who's playing stand-up bass and regular bass, like a keyboard bass. He's an amazing, amazing bass player, man. I can't believe the
things
he does.
As all black people are, by the way.
Yes. All black people are amazing.
I'm just
bass
saying,
players.
You can't beat him for bass, right? Am I lying?
No, you can't. And I got Shane Gibson on guitar. He's a... amazing shredding guitar player. I can't believe the things he plays on his guitar sometimes. And I got Shankar on violin. Or it's double violin. It's crazy. It's two necks, five strings each. It has the whole range of a whole from double bass all the way up to violin. And
wow.
A lot of people might know his work with Peter Gabriel. And he did like the Last Temptation of Christ soundtrack. He did Passion of Christ.
Amazing.
It's an
unbelievable
amazing.
Musician. And he does the music for a lot of the music for Heroes.
And
if you watch
Heroes,
the Heroes TV show, he's the guy who does that cool sound. Well, that's a hell of a band. And we got a taste of it in rehearsal out there a few minutes ago. So we're dying to hear what you'll be ready to play for us when we come back?
Yes, I will.
Fantastic.
Sounds good. Jonathan Davis is here. And we'll hear some live music next on the World Famous K-Rock.
We got Jonathan Davis from Korn in the other studio. Jonathan, you ready to do some live music?
Yeah, man.
Fantastic. What's the first one?
We're going to play Hold On.
With a version, this assertion came so swiftly. In the courtroom, this default will be drifting. No direction, no affection.
Wow. Kids love it.
A lot of applause there.
Very big.
That sounds great. And good morning to the band, too. Hey, I forgot to ask you, John, is there any plan to record any of your solo shows for either album or DVD?
Actually, tonight we're going to do a recording of it and a video so we can put out a DVD CD of it. It'll be available at the shows.
Great. Fantastic. Great news. Jonathan Davis is here with his crack band. And again, if you're just joining us, we gave away the tickets already. But you might check out with Ticketmaster for the dates, Orpheum Theater downtown L.A. on the 4th, Galaxy Theater Santa Ana on the 7th, and the Majestic Theater in Ventura on the 8th, all those dates in December. What are you going to play for us next, guys?
We're going to play Got the Life for you.
Fantastic.
Love it.
Live music from Jonathan?
Live music. Need guitar player to get his guitar.
Oh, yeah. That happens at times. Does someone just run out of the room? Is that what happened?
Yeah.
How far does he have to go to get his guitar? Do you leave it out in the car? Oh, there he is. Okay. All right. That's funny.
Run to La Peria real quick.
I love that, that oh my God, I don't have something
yes.
panic.
that's the I'm naked in high school dream is what that is.
Yeah. All right, you good now?
Golden.
Okay, here we go.
Live music, Jonathan Davis. Okay, wow.
Yeah, that's awesome.
That didn't suck, I'll tell you that. That did not suck.
Wow.
That is live music this morning from Jonathan Davis and his band. Hey, John, I meant to ask you when you were in this room, but you're working on an opera? Is that true?
Yeah, I'm working with Clive Barker and my partner, Richard Gibbs. We're working on this opera based on the end of the world called Oblivion. We're in the middle of writing it, getting the actual story down, then we're going to start on the music pretty quick since Clive's done with that.
Bean, these are people who have talent, and what they do is they branch out into other arenas, which we are unable to do.
We've got the one thing we barely do every day, and you've got a million things, and you just the projects are just stacking up. You've got so much stuff. This is the kind of opera with classical music and the la la la, that kind of singing. Is that what we're talking about?
No, it'll be something different.
Could I hear a little more of what you thought it might sound like?
No, you can't. In other words, it will still rock, even though it will be quote unquote an opera, right?
Yeah. Definitely.
That sounds awesome. All right. Well, I know we'll be looking forward to hearing more about that. John, we've been lucky enough to have you on the show many times over the years here at K-Rock, and it's always a treat. You always got something up your sleeve, man. It's always great to catch up with you. Thank you.
Thank you, guys.
You bet.
Thank you, man.
All right, let's welcome LaQuisha to the broadcast. LaQuisha, as you know, watches the reality TV, so we don't have to, and she's in love with Tila Tequila's A Shot at Love on MTV. Good morning, LaQuisha.
Let's get it straight. I'm in love with the show. Okay. I'm not in love with Tila Tequila.
Right.
You're in love with Tila Tequila's A Shot at Love.
Right? On the show trying to get in her.
No,
I understand. No, I got that. You just love her and the contestants that get on that show to try to find true love with her.
That's right, because it's the greatest reality show ever.
You wouldn't be able to get on that show because of intelligence. They would kick you right the hell off.
I would fail the IQ test.
That's
yes. Well, there's 10 of them left. 5 lesbians and 5 straight guys all trying to win the heart of Tila Tequila. Remember last episode, a racist cowboy dude got into a big fight and punched one of the other guys.
Right.
So we pick up where that left off with Bobby, the guy a racist cowboy dude hit, going to the hospital.
Tila walked me out the ambulance. We sat in there, went to the doctors, made sure everything was okay. Everything was fine. It was also nice because I got some one-on-one time with her.
See? It was a good thing. It's a good thing to go to the hospital because then you get to be with Tequila.
Got some one-on-one time with her.
That's right, in the hospital.
Right.
So it's a brand new day. And everyone comes down from the giant bed they all sleep in, and they see that there are some things they're supposed to put on. These are bikini briefs for the men and bikinis for the women that are made out of giant sponges.
No, they didn't.
Yeah. And Steven has to put on these little briefs with the sponges, and he's not too pleased.
I'm from the South, and guys just don't wear bikini bottoms. You know, it's just somewhere you don't go.
That's right.
Okay.
Of course, they do tend to kill black people and marry each other's cousins, but they draw the line at bikini briefs.
No bikini briefs.
They will not go there. Well, it turns out that Tila Tequila has planned a big car wash that day to find out who her true love is. And they got to wash the cars down with the sponges on their bathing suits.
I'm sorry, I thought you said that she planned a car wash to find out who her true love is.
That's right. Why else would she do this if it wasn't to help her find out which one she loves?
Okay.
So they got these two ugly-ass Hummers out there all covered with dirt, and Tila Tequila wants them to clean them with their private parts.
Today I have a really fun thing planned out for the boys and girls. Whoever cleans off the car in the most creative way wins. So they're going to have to figure out how to move that ass to clean that car off the fastest.
That's right.
Wow.
That's how you know that you really love someone.
That's how you know.
Because they clean your car with their ass.
That's the test of love.
Now the little Italian dude, he really got into it a little bit too much, actually, because the sponge is on the front part of the bathing suit for the men.
Right.
And that little monkey, he was just going at those white walls like crazy.
I was cleaning the tires with my and I was having a lot of fun. I was shaking my ass and cleaning the tires.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He was, they should change the name Hubcap to Humpcap for him, because that's the part he was cleaning. And Brandy, one of the lesbians, she noticed it too.
Maybe Domenico enjoyed the car washing, because that's the only Hummer he's going to get.
Hey!
Oh, no, you did!
Yes, she did.
Well, after the car wash, the big reward for the team that did the best cleaning job was you get to go to a spa with Tila Tequila.
Okay.
And before they leave, Ashley, who is a virgin lesbian, gets into a big argument with Bobby because he thinks she can't be a lesbian because she ain't never had sex with nobody.
All I'm asking is how do I know?
How do I know?
know. How do you know you're straight? Have you ever slept with a guy?
I'm done with this conversation.
Oh, no, you did. A lot of those moments in there where people come at each other.
Yeah.
So she is convinced she's a lesbian even though she's a virgin. Fair enough.
Okay.
Meanwhile, at the spa, Michael, who is a guy who still sleeps on his mother's couch and delivers pizza for a living.
Oh, good.
He'll do whatever Tila says because he's desperate to stay on this show because he don't want to go back to sleeping on a couch.
Sure.
At his mama's house. So he decides that Tila asks him to get his ass waxed at the spa.
Oh.
And he agrees to do it.
Okay.
And while he's on all fours up on the table getting his ass waxed, Tila comes up with a new idea.
I'm waxing my ass for you, Tila. I will do anything for a shot at love.
You should do his balls.
Tila asks me to man up and get my balls waxed.
Yeah.
Yeah, what's happening, LaQuisha?
Yeah.
What's going on here?
That's how you find true love.
What happened to this show?
That's how you find true love, if a man will get his nuts waxed.
No, that's how you find a slave. That's not how you find a true love.
Well, he go ahead and do it.
Oh, my God.
He gets himself waxed down there screaming like a schoolgirl. And in the one-on-one time, Amanda, one of the lesbians, gets a chance to really bare her soul with Tila Tequila.
What kind of girl do you think I am now that you got to know me a little better?
You're totally like perfect and hot, banging body. And then you're like tough and like, and you talk like filthy like I do.
Yeah, you're filthy like I am.
Talk filthy like I am.
That's love. Well, back at the house, Vanessa, one of the lesbians, she gets loaded drunk and decides that she needs some attention.
Vanessa decided to go skinny dipping to get some attention, whether it be positive or negative.
Bobby! Baby, I want to have sex!
That's the lesbian screaming at one of the guys naked in the pool.
Oh, my gosh.
What?
I've never seen so many damn lesbians trying to have sex with men before than on this show.
It does make you wonder if they maybe lied a little bit just to get on TV.
Who knew lesbian liked penis that much? I had no idea.
I don't have that understanding either.
I should have asked one of them.
How about that?
Well, some of the other lesbians don't take too kindly to Vanessa coming on to Bobby. And the big drama is causing, so there's a confrontation.
Sorry. Does he make you mad that he wouldn't f*** you? Or you?
No, I'm not mad that he wouldn't. I know he wouldn't. I know what's making me mad is the fact that he won't admit it.
I know he wants to have sex with me. He just won't admit it. And that makes me angry.
Okay.
Oh, dear Lord.
All right, then.
Well, Vanessa the lesbian gets in a fight with Brandy the lesbian. And I don't know why everybody wants to get hit on this show.
Don't do anything.
Please do it. Oh, the ultimate insult. I thought you were cool, but you're not.
Oh, no.
How dare she say that to her? Well, everyone passes out drunk and wakes up the next morning, and little do they know, it's a new holiday. Tila de Mayo.
Oh.
Today is Tila de Mayo. I just want to make sure that my man or woman can handle crazy Tila Day.
Oh.
It's crazy Tila Day.
This is the first time that I wished the writer's strike would have happened way earlier.
Oh, nobody wrote this.
Wow.
Come on.
Tila
you know, know what Tila de Mayo is?
Yeah, tell us.
They put the men and women in a barber chair and spin it around till they're dizzy. Then they got to carry a tray of margaritas 20 feet and put it down on a table.
That was
the idea they came up with, and then they said, that's dumb, let's do something else.
No,
and then what did they actually do on the show?
That's what they do. And that's how Tila can decide who she loves.
True love.
Because if you can walk dizzy with a tray of drinks, then you should marry someone.
Okay. All right.
Oh, dear Lord. Well, after that game is over, Tila finds out about Vanessa coming on to Bobby, but Vanessa says that Bobby came on to her, and she doesn't know what to think.
At that moment, I didn't feel I was appreciated because they were so preoccupied talking about other people's drama. So I was a little bit turned off at that point.
Now you're turned off? Now they're washing dirty cars with a penis or carrying drinks dizzy? Now all of a sudden, now you think it's ridiculous.
Yeah.
Well, she has to ask Bobby what his side of the story is.
Bobby said his piece, and now I'm just going to sit on it for a while and think about that before elimination.
She gonna sit on Bobby's piece?
I don't think that's what she meant.
Oh.
No.
Oh, I thought the show got interesting for a moment.
No, sorry.
Well, it comes down to elimination. She gotta let two people go to cut it down to eight. So I figure, well, she's going to get rid of Vanessa, the crazy lesbian who wants to have sex with Bobby when she's drunk.
Right.
And get rid of Bobby, who's causing all the drama.
Right.
Wrong. She gets rid of Ashley, the virgin lesbian. Why?
Really?
Oh, I don't
because
know. That's
she's
sad.
A virgin. And just go to show you, people put up with a lot of drama, but they won't put up with somebody ain't good in bed. That's what it comes down to. And poor Ashley, she's heartbroken.
Taylor is my first love. And she's my first love lost.
Tila is my first love. And my first love lost.
Wow.
She's not a love so much as someone who you were on a reality TV show with.
She's more someone who made you dizzy and made you carry drinks. This girl is not allowed to fall in love anymore.
Wow.
She don't know what... Oh.
Wow.
Oh, dear Lord.
Wow.
And so that's one gone. And the other one?
Yeah?
The loser who sleeps on his couch at his mama's house delivering pizza.
Oh, because
once
long.
Again... Put up a lot of drama, but not no
that.
Broke-ass pizza delivery boy.
Right.
Not putting up with that. But he don't mind.
I feel like a hero for all those guys out there that are sleeping on their mom's couch.
Yeah, you are a hero to them. Because you did not get the girl, and you're going back to the couch and the pizza delivery job.
That's the thing about guys that sleep on couches in their mom's house, is that they really look up to other people who sleep on couches
all
in their mom's house.
All those guys look up to you and say, look at him. He accomplished nothing on the show.
He's my hero.
I want to be just like him and remain a loser for the rest of my life. God damn this show.
So you love it.
I miss the racist cowboy guy.
Yeah.
But I tell you, next week episode, lesbian fight.
Oh, yeah.
Lesbian cat fight with hair pulling and whatnot.
Now we're getting somewhere.
You're not going to want to miss it.
All right. Thank you, Laquisha.
Bye. Bye.
Time for the showbiz beat. Here's Ralph.
I've decided celebrities should no longer drive.
Any of them?
So make it so. I have decreed.
Why?
Latest news coming off of TMZ.com that Nick Hogan, son of the Hulkster, Hulk Hogan,
right.
Who's
right.
on that horrible show, Hulk Knows Best.
Sure.
Hogan Knows Best. Make room for Hogan. I don't know what the hell it's called. But yeah, he was drinking before his crash on August 26th. Remember when he wiped out and seriously injured his passenger?
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, apparently he was boozing up.
Mm.
Who was? I think he's 19.
Oh,
yeah. Which seems young.
So the Clearwater, Florida Police Department today released details of their investigation, saying that he's being arrested for reckless driving involving a serious bodily injury. Also, using a motor vehicle in the commission of a felony. A person under the age of 21 operating a vehicle with a breath alcohol level of 0.02 or higher and having a illegal window tint.
Well,
thank God they tacked that on.
Yeah, because that's going to send him to the big house right there. So
that's the best one ever.
That and driving a Supra, which is just icky.
Yeah.
They
What does the Hulkster have to say about that, Ralph?
I can't believe her. Look at my pythons. That's what he said, pretty much. And continuing in my quest to get all celebrities to stop driving, new DUI. If you guys watched that John from Cincinnati show on HBO.
Sure.
The most... fascinating bad show ever on television?
Yeah, it was pretty
bad. You mean good?
No, by bad I mean bad.
No, just
the
bad.
End is near.
Yeah, a lot of that kind of talk going on there.
Yeah.
The end is near for her driving record because she, Rebecca De Mornay, who played the mom on that show, was arrested by Beverly Hills Police the night before Halloween for drinking and driving. They say her blood alcohol level was 0.09.
The end is near.
Yeah. So there you go.
Ralph, was she the one?
She was the one, yes.
Okay, she was, sorry.
Okay.
Who did it with Tom Cruise on the train?
Yeah, in Risky Business.
In that one movie.
Yeah, she was the hooker.
That's what I thought, yeah.
Lola?
Very attractive.
I think was her name in that.
Don't look at me.
All I know is that
Ralph's
Tom...
looking at me like he's going to get
all
anything.
No, is Tom Cruise uses the name Ralph when he orders the hooker.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, how about that?
He orders a hooker to his house, and she goes, what's your name? And goes, Ralph. Didn't live that down for about 15 years.
The end is near. Yeah,
do you use Tom when you call for
him? I do. I say, I'm Tom Cruise.
Oh, he's first and last.
Yeah.
Excellent.
Can you send Dave over now?
Oh.
Which you've never done.
No.
See what he did there?
That'd be silly.
He's a homo.
No, nope. That's not what we're saying at all.
Frank Lucas, the Harlem drug lord, who is the center of the film American Gangster, the American number one movie in America.
Right.
Is a real guy.
Yes.
And was convicted of his crimes before there was a law banning criminals from profiting from their crimes. So Frank Lucas, so far, has made $800,000 from the movie version of his life.
Wow.
Wow.
Not too shabby.
How about that?
Lucas says that the film is only 20% true.
20%?
But he doesn't mind because they keep giving him big checks.
Sure.
So they can say whatever they want about him.
Wasn't the first one that I remember hearing about a law that prohibited criminals from profiting was the Son of Sam law. Isn't that what they actually ended up calling it?
That's what they call it, yeah.
Because he was writing a book or some deal or it was some selling merchandise or something, and they said, no, you can't do that.
Yeah, he was selling merchandise. He was selling my dog coasters and me coffee mugs. Yeah, that's what
he was doing.
That crazy Son of Sam. And speaking of an American gangster, Russell Crowe has found God.
Crikey.
Really?
I didn't even know he was missing.
Mm.
Apparently, the moody actor told an interviewer for the November issue of Men's Journal magazine that he's always believed it's important for his children to be baptized. So he decided to do it himself. Okay. He said since his baptism, he believes there's something bigger that drives us all, and he's willing to take a leap of faith. He also added, sometimes God tells me to throw a phone at somebody's head. To which the Son of Sam said, me too!
See how it all works together?
It all comes around.
Yeah.
Today's celebrity birthday is Christopher Knight. He played Peter Brady on the legendary sitcom The Brady Bunch. He is 50 years old today. Little Peter Brady's 50 years old.
Yeah. The end is near.
It is near. And the London boys, Jeremy and Jason, twin actors of varying degrees of success, is 35.
Wonder which one's more popular. I guess we'll never know.
I'm guessing Jeremy.
All right, I won't argue.
All right, then.
I don't know why. I'm just guessing Jeremy. They're both 35 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Most of the guests we have on the Kevin and Bean Show, it's because we're excited by them. But this one, I can honestly say, is because you, the fine K-Rock list, are excited by Crazy Susan Miller, astrologer to the stars, joining us in the studio of the world-famous K-Rock. Good morning, Susan. How are you, my dear?
Good. They let me out of the mental institution, and just I have no medication this morning.
Yeah. You're still crazy. Susan is a frequent guest in the Kevin and Bean Show because lots of people have drank the Kool-Aid and believe in this astrology BS. She is the resident astrologer for InStyle magazine, Cosmo Girl, Vogue in Japan, and so many more, and is a terrific guest, and we're always excited to see you. And you're in town for something really interesting because you've got some sort of a deal with Apple. What's this all about, Susan?
Well, my friend Henry Seltzer is an astrologer, but also an engineer. And over the last 10 years, created some software, you know, cheap, $39, that you can put in your computer and you can do your own chart and click on the different hieroglyphics and little bubbles and dialog boxes come up so that you can learn the easy way about your chart, learn what's the rising sign and so forth, where Venus and Jupiter, Mars, all that. And it's fun. People love it. And we give demonstrations and we do lots of people in the audience. So it's so much fun. We do all these charts. And a person has to ask one question, of course.
Right.
We can't
right.
do like everything. But I was just in Chicago and we had 500 people there.
Wow.
And
people love this stuff.
You know, it's really fun. And, you know, it's lasted since 2500 BC. Everyone keeps predicting the demise of astrology. It doesn't because it works.
Yeah, that's not true, first of all.
were they giving out free iPods to everyone through the door or something? Why were there so many people there to see
you? God, when I go into Apple, it's like your problems disappear. It's such a happy place.
Oh, it's the best.
No.
Won't it put you out of work, though, if this astrology software is that good?
No, because it took me 30 years to learn how to juggle all those planets and learn how to interpret them properly. But we want people to learn some things about it. You know, you can't hang out a shingle the next day. Most people know my website, astrologyzone.com.
Mm-hmm.
And so I write an essay every month, like 8 pages long for each sign. So it's like 100 pages. And I name dates. Like today is a really good day. Today Uranus is trying the sun. So it's filled surprises for everybody. Uranus is trying the sun. It's like in a beautiful triangle shape between the sun and Uranus. And Uranus is the planet of surprise, and it's so friendly to the sun.
Can you not say Uranus because that makes young boys laugh? Honestly.
And really, it's the surprise planet. Shouldn't it be Uranus?
And you're a Scorpio, so
Bean's a Scorpio. I'm an Aries.
Oh, you're the Aries.
I think. I'm late March. I think I'm an Aries.
Yeah, you are. Okay. You are. Well, it's better for Bean today.
Okay.
I'm sorry.
So what's going on today?
So what should Bean do today?
Lots of good surprises and love. Are you married? Or
yes.
I am.
Sort of.
But it's just fun. You should actually take your wife out to dinner tonight. Do something surprising. Yeah. Buy her a present.
That's not going to happen.
Wait a minute. Are you Scorpio? Are you born today? When's your birthday?
It's interesting you should say that because it is actually next week.
A week from now, yeah.
Oh, this is a good
week from
time.
Today, yeah.
You know what? Scorpio's going to make so much money next month around the 9th, 10th, 11th when Jupiter conjuncts Pluto. That was one of my surprises that I was going to tell you about. Next month is so big. We have 5 planets in Sagittarius, and that's your house of earned income. You won't
if
win
I
it. You earn it.
If I believed any of this, I would be so excited right now. It's so cool. It's such good news.
This is the best in 10 years for earning money for Scorpio. Everybody has something to cheer about, though. Everybody.
But let me put as a PS here, Susan, and I joke because I love, but I do remember one time when we had you in when you said the same thing to Ralph. You said he had big money coming in, remember?
Well, I mean, everybody or had gets just a turn, had ju- but
right. You said
see,
he
Ralph
had just got
have it now, you know?
Right? But you said he had. I can't remember the specifics of the timing, but you said something like you've just come into money or you will come into money, and he was like, "Oh my God, you're not going to believe this," but he had just gotten a huge check from a movie that he had done that he wasn't expecting, and it was kind of it freaked him out for a minute that you had said that about him, and it did happen for him. So maybe lucky too.
When is your birthday, Ralph?
Ralph is in the other room.
November 18th.
He's November the same. He's kind of the same as Bean.
He actually has good money aspects as well.
He does?
November 18th, you said?
Mm-hmm.
I think so, yeah.
Yeah. No, but for Aries, it's all foreign people, foreign places, whether you travel or you make a deal with a foreign person, or like, let's say you wrote a book and you do translation rights, or when I had that aspect, Vogue Japan called to me. I was sitting on my couch, and they called me up and said, we want you.
Kevin has a lot of foreign people that work for him, you know, help.
Yeah. Is Vogue Japan going to call me? That'd be cool.
I'm going to tell them.
All right,
they
for
need
them.
That. They translate them, everything into Japanese.
I'll tell them Jupiter is conjuncting Uranus. I'll tell them that.
Let me tell people how to meet Susan.
Whatever
let's get the business out of the way, and then we'll be able to get to some phone calls if you have questions about your life for Susan Miller. And by the way, as they're answering phones in the other room, it looks like people are already blowing up the phones. What information do they need to have available to give to the phone screener, Susan?
I would love the month. Don't say like 9. Say September 25th, 19, whatever. The exact time, if you know it.
Okay.
If you don't know it, just say, I don't know it, and then the city.
Okay.
But try to do it quickly and ask one question, not tell me about my life.
Okay, so we're going to get to those calls in a minute. Let me tell you where Susan's going to be this weekend for the Apple Store Workshop. Saturday, November 10th, you're going to be at the Apple Store at the 3rd Street Promenade at 4 o'clock, and then the following day you'll be at the Grove one, which is at Fairfax and 3rd in Los Angeles. That one's at 3 o'clock, and this information is, of course, available at Susan's website, astrologyzone.com. Shall we take a break and come back and cram in as many calls as we can?
We will do that. You get to ask one question, and then Susan will tell you whatever BS you want, and we'll come right back with that.
Crazy Susan Miller is here. She is astrologyzone.com. You can meet her and see her amazing new Apple software so that you can do your own astrology chart at the Apple Store in Santa Monica at 4 o'clock on Saturday, and then the Los Angeles 1/3 in Fairfax Sunday at 3 o'clock. Again, astrologyzone.com. Susan, before we go to the calls, you a married lady?
Not anymore.
Mm. Ah, interesting.
I married a man.
Did you marry the wrong sign?
No, I married a Scorpio. He was supposed to be great for me, but he didn't work ever. And when I got married, he worked. And I had to protect my credit rating. But we're friends, and we have 2 children who are fantastic. One of them lives here, actually, in L.A.
Now, how much stock should people who are looking for a partner to settle down and get married with, how much stock should they put into what signs get along together and what signs don't?
I really think that there's a much more open road than people think, because the media makes it a little too cartoonish and like you only have a few signs. You really can get along with a lot of people. You really need to look at the chart, because we're a confluence of 10 different heavenly bodies. So something's going to connect there. There's a reason you're drawn to that person. So in that respect, you really have to look at the whole 2 charts. It's better to have an astrologer. You shouldn't just, you know, but generally, if you're a water sign, you get along really well with other water signs, earth with earth, air with air, so forth. That's the easiest,
okay,
because you can almost talk to each other like me and you, Kevin,
right,
across a room. Like
we have an unspoken love.
We can do an infrared little thing going here.
Of course.
I can, you know, we can finish each other's sentences. So it's stuff like that, you know, it just is easier, but, you know, I think anyone can get along.
Speaking of relationships, why don't we take our first call? He is John calling us from Altadena. He's on line 1. It's the Kevin and Bean Show on the world famous K-Rock. John, you're on with Crazy Susan Miller. Go ahead.
Hi, Susan.
Hi, John. You're born December 21st?
Yeah, 1981.
You know, I am so happy you called up because every year we have what I call the luckiest day of the year, and it always falls on some random day during the year. And this year it's falling on December 23rd, just 2 days after your birthday. So not only are you going to have an amazing birthday, but a whole great year ahead. We are going to crown Capricorn, the celestial favorite. You are on the last day of Sagittarius, but you're still close enough to you know, get that shower effect from Jupiter. This whole period is fantastic for you. I'm looking at your chart. Are you falling in love? Are you ready to make a commitment to a girl? Because I see something going on here.
Yeah, that's what I was asking about, because we just stopped seeing each other, so I wanted to know if we would get back together.
Not only are you getting back together, you're going to have that diamond, you know, in her grapefruit or something very, like, romantic. You're getting engaged for Christmas. Get
that,
her
Susan.
Back. She's the right one.
All right, wait, he's going to get engaged this Christmas?
Yeah.
All right.
No, she's the right one. Everybody gets last-minute jitters right ahead of the big commitment.
Sure.
I know. Okay. I see love written all over this chart, John, and you're a catch too. You both are. So you really have a really nice.
I got a read on John, and it's not that positive.
thank you for the call. Let's go down to line six. This is Kara. She's got a work question. Kara is in Century City, Susan. She was born on August the 4th, 1984, in Beverly Hills, so in this time zone. Hi, Kara. You're on the Kevin Beach on K-Rock with Crazy Susan Miller. Go ahead.
Hi, guys. Hi, Susan.
Hi.
So, long story short, I got a great job offer, and I got to go in today and quit my old job, and I want to go out guns blazing, but I want to see if that's the right move.
All right. Well, here's what I see in your chart. Leo really cares about putting their stamp of individuality on whatever they do, and your chart doubly so, because you have a lot of planets stacked up in Sagittarius. Is this job giving you a channel for creativity?
Definitely.
Oh,
the new one?
Yes.
Wait, the new one or the one you're quitting?
The new one.
The new one. The new one needs to. And also, another question. I think the money's not what you want, but the job is so terrific and you'd be so passionate about it. You're willing to forgo the money for now so that you could get it later. Yes or no?
Oh, no, that's head on.
Head on. Okay.
Wow. Kara,
this job is written all over your chart. You got to take it. Say yes, say yes, say
yes. I just have a legal question. When you say go out in a blaze of glory...
No, she's not talking about shooting up the
that
place.
That doesn't involve gunfire, does
no,
it?
No. All she's right. Not that kind of disgruntled ex-employee.
Find out what kind of advice we're giving?
I get a read from Kara.
Leo
that's not the case.
Likes to make a big entrance and departure, but no. I think she's a good girl.
All right. Thank you, Kara.
Let's go to Javier on line three in West Covina, March 24th, 1985. Also born in Southern California. Javier, good morning. You're on with Susan Miller. Go ahead.
Hey, everybody.
Hi there.
Hi. Hey, hi, Javier.
Hey, Susan. I got into a relationship with my girlfriend about a year ago on Halloween, and I just wanted to know if that's like a bad setup for the rest of the relationship or what.
No, wait a minute. You met her on Halloween?
No, I didn't meet her on Halloween. I met her, like, say, about 3 weeks before. It was actually kind of crazy.
But the relationship took off on Halloween, or you broke up on Halloween? I didn't get that.
No, it took off on Halloween.
Oh, that's fine. That means it was in the house of physical affection.
Yes, it does. That's a hell of a house.
Oh, well, this is a sparkly relationship.
Now,
I would say it's electric.
Let me ask you a question, because Javier was curious if a year ago the relationship got off on the wrong foot. Does that mean you're having trouble the whole time?
There's been ups and downs, yeah.
Yeah, but that's because Aries always wants their own way. It's okay. You know that.
Kevin is
born the same week you are. But that's okay. I mean, they like to be the leader. They're supposed to be. No, actually, I have to tell you something about Aries. Aries have been having some real problems with love because of Saturn being the old stick of the mud.
Saturn. I hate Saturn.
Oh, gosh. Everybody doesn't like old Saturn.
Damn it.
And Saturn moved out on September 2nd for the first time in 2 years, and he's not coming back for 29 years in your house of love. You're looking at a much different situation. I think you've worked out all your problems. And don't think it's going to be like it was. Try to have a clean slate ahead, because it's going to be easier, so much easier for Aries. Not all those obstacles and little glitchy things.
Right, stupid Saturn.
What sign is she?
She's a New Year's Eve baby.
She's Capricorn, the celestial favorite. She's so happy this year.
Oh, my God. Are you kidding me? That's unbelievable.
Oh, my God. In 2008, they're the happiest people in the whole chart. Oh, my God.
I'm so delighted.
Here's the thing that we love about Susan Miller. No one's ever more excited about anything than she is. I wish I was excited about one thing in my life.
I know. And she's excited about some guy on the phone's girlfriend and when that person was born. That's remarkable.
Now, your little horns, but you know, both signs have little horns, so mm-hmm. But I read that the ancients wrote when you have horns, that's the more erotic signs, the ones that have horns. And
okay.
And Javier, you have the best career year you've ever seen coming up in 2008. So when a man's career is doing well, he's happy. I'm saying you're looking at a good situation here.
Yeah.
Excellent.
All
right.
Thank you,
Susan,
for the call.
I know I've asked you this before, but this conversation reminds me of it again. Do you give people bad news? I mean,
I do.
Are there times where you just go, seriously, dude,
don't
it's going to be way rough for
or
you?
Something. Yeah. Yeah. No, I do sometimes. I do. Yeah.
Okay.
No, I do.
When you went out to lunch with Lisa May, how honked up did you realize she was at that point? I mean, she's hopeless,
right? We just found out about that today. We were like, what?
We had fun. Yeah, we did. We had a really good time, mm-hmm. and she pulled up my chart and gave me some advice, and it was fun.
I'd like to pull up your chart. I
tell you, Susan's a busy girl. While we were having lunch, she was like fielding phone calls and giving people advice. And
oh, my gosh.
She's amazingly busy.
Well,
let me give out the information again. If you want to meet Susan in person, of course, the website's the easiest way to get in touch with her, astrologyzone.com. But if you want to meet her in person, she's in Southern California this weekend for two appearances at the Apple Store. They're doing workshops with their new astrology software. The Santa Monica location at the 3rd Street Promenade at 4 o'clock on Saturday, and then at the Grove Store, Fairfax and 3rd in L.A. at 3 o'clock on Sunday. And Susan, we love you. We always love having you in. I hope you come back and see us again
too.
Soon.
If I ever go to Seattle, I want to meet you in person.
Yes, you do.
Well,
we'll give you his address.
Absolutely not going to happen.
Time for your phone calls.
We're sorry. You must first dial a 0 or 1.
What it do, nephew?
Call now, toll free, get on the air, get a prize. Today it's all access passes to the Troy Lee Designed Supermoto Mayhem at the Morongo Casino. It's the final event of the 2007 AMA Supermoto Series. Package is still available at the Morongo. You can call 888-MORONGO and mention Supermoto Mayhem. Also, we'll throw in a limited edition watch from Troy Lee Designs. Please, no astrology calls, though. Can we just say that?
No, we'll read your chart.
Can we shelve those until the next time
we'll
Susan
tell you
comes
all
back?
About your Uranus? Oscar in Glendora.
Uranus.
Yeah.
Yes, please.
What it do, nephew?
What it do?
What's going on?
Hey, boo.
Hello.
Yeah, I was just calling to say that I met Psycho Mike for the first time on the Halloween Haunt tour.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm.
He's not as buff as he says he is. He looked more like a cinnamon-covered David Hasselhoff.
This is a mess.
Cinnamon-covered David Hasselhoff. I like it.
I take that. I'll dress up like a preppy Boy Scout.
Well, he's preppy. Well, don't get us wrong.
In Mike's defense, and far be it from me to defend Mike, he's not the one who says he's buff. It's his... I mean, I don't think he's the one who says that. We kind of make fun of him for his physical fitness, you know, his commitment to physical fitness. But I don't think Mike is on saying he's the biggest bodybuilder in the world or anything like that, is
he? Yeah, well, you're not here, Bean, when he's in the office talking about the gun show every day.
What made you think that? The guy entered a freaking bodybuilding competition.
Bean's right. I've never claimed to be a big person. And I am infatuated with physical fitness. But I do take that as a compliment. Thank you very much, Oscar. Cinnamon-covered Hasselhoff.
Yes. Playing Christmas.
I want that on my gravestone.
And I hope it's soon. I'd like to order that today, in fact.
Let's say good morning to James in Southgate. Good morning, James.
Good morning, guys. How are you?
Good.
Good.
Lisa?
Hello.
I wanted to talk about some guy that won the lottery in Maryland. Okay. I don't know if you guys heard about that story, but it was on the Yahoo front page just a couple of days ago.
Okay, what is it? Go ahead.
Well, $33 million. Right. What is he going to do? He's going to open up his own Hogwarts like in Harry Potter. Yep. He's doing it. The guy looks like a total douchebag. It's going to be a school for people that want to learn about witchery or whatever. And the guy looks like he's just inviting a bunch of kids over. He says kids are welcome.
Oh, no.
If you look at the video, the guy looks like some old, stocky, bald guy.
Oh, no.
Like the manager from Waiting. And he looks like he's ready to, like, maybe bust some child abuse or something like that. The guy looks like a total freak. But anyways, the guy.
I'd love to get a copy of that.
Nope.
No. Probably should. good.
What could go wrong with that whole situation?
Well, luckily there are parents who decide where their kids go to school.
Dude's going to bust some child abuse, yo.
That's right.
Thank you, James.
James was a Beaner goldmine. He gave us Jahu, Iceen, and whatever's all in one call.
That's the trifecta.
All right, let's go to Ben in Fullerton. Good morning, Ben. Welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show.
By the way, Beaner goldmine, also singing Christmas.
I saw that movie.
That was good, right?
Yeah, it was good.
All right. Yes,
Ben. Christmas is going to have to be like a week long to get all these bands in that have already been announced, by the way. All right, Ben, back to you. What's going on?
What to do, all of you?
Hi there.
What to do, all of you?
This morning you guys went on break and I flipped over to Kiss and I'm listening to Ryan Seacrest.
Mm.
He's doing
good
this
choice.
Thing where he sends flowers to people to find people they actually love.
He does what? Say that again.
He sends flowers to people. They make a phone call.
Yeah.
And then find out if they're going to send the flowers to the, you know, the boyfriend, the girlfriend, the wife, or whatever.
Yeah.
To try and catch them in a lie and in another relationship. And he basically tore this couple's relationship apart.
Wait a minute. Wait,
let me explain this.
So
this
he tries to break up.
It's a lame-ass bit where they'll call a dude and they say, sir, you have won a free bouquet of flowers. We'll send it to anyone of your choice. Who would you like to send it to? And what this is all set up because the woman has called Ryan and said, ask my boyfriend who he wants to send the flowers to.
Oh, and then he's
so if the guy doesn't say, oh, send them to Jane, the girl who's contacted Seacrest, he says, oh, yeah, send this girl Sharon or something. Then that's how they bust the guy, but he's got another girl on the side or something.
And it's not even Ryan Spitt. I mean, it's been around in radio for 20 years. I mean,
yeah,
lots of shows have done it, yeah.
But you got to realize, he tore this couple's relationship apart, and when callers called in to complain saying you never should have done it, he actually said that he's doing a public service, and he's kind of like Dr. Phil.
He is. He's very, very public service oriented and very Dr. Phil-esque.
That was the thing. He's an absolute douche and he compared himself to Dr. Phil.
Well, Dr. Phil's a douche
yeah.
Here's the thing about those calls you have to understand is they're all fake. Because you can't do that anymore. The FCC has ruled you can't call someone up and pretend to be someone else and put their voice on the radio. It is no longer legal. So Ryan has to set this up.
And he's comparing himself to Dr. Phil.
Yes,
exactly. Yes.
If Dr. Phil faked
on every level,
then he would do it.
Yes.
Double dude.
Yes.
Yes. Exactly.
Thank you, Ben.
Thank you for the call. Alan is in Fullerton, by the way. Here's a story I haven't heard anything about, and I hear Ralph doing the showbiz beat every hour. So how did I miss it? Alan, good morning. You're on the Kevin and Bean Show. What it do, nephew?
Good morning, guys. What it do?
What it do?
Today in the morning, I was watching the news actually before I went to work, and it came up that George Clooney and Fabio got into a fight at a restaurant in New York.
George Clooney and Fabio.
Yeah.
Fantastic. I know where my money is.
A physical fight? They or an argument?
Well, they said they got into just like an argument, dropping F-bombs and everything. And the waiters had to break it up. And it was all over. I guess some girls with Fabio were taking pictures of themselves. And George Clooney thought they were taking pictures of him. And he got irritated by it. So he told them, knock it off. And Fabio told him to mind his business.
I heard that Clooney refused to believe it wasn't butter. Fabio was insisting that it wasn't butter. I can't believe it's not butter, and it just escalated from there.
The only thing that I'm going to say about that is, doesn't it strike you like George Clooney is the opposite of that, where he thinks someone's taking pictures of him?
Yeah, especially at a restaurant, I don't think he would make a
big deal. But if he threw down with Fabio, I'd be behind him. Yeah. That'd be good.
Maybe he's friends with the goose.
Yeah.
All right, I think that's probably a good one to end it on. I want to thank all of our special guests on today's Kevin and Bean Show. How great was Jonathan Davis from Korn in here today, right?
Really great.
It was outstanding. His solo tour is ongoing December 4th at the Orpheum downtown L.A., on the 7th at the Galaxy Theater in Santa Ana, and the Majestic Theater in Ventura on December the 8th. If you want to see Jonathan Davis and his new band doing a bunch of, he told us, Korn songs that have never been done live before, along with solo work and covers. Go to Ticketmaster for information on that. Thanks to author John Robison for joining us. His book is out now called Look Me in the Eye, My Life with Asperger's. I didn't have to read that because I don't know anyone with Asperger's.
Right. No, you don't.
Thanks to Harvey Levin from TMZ.com. Of course, that's the website of record for entertainment stories and the TMZ TV show, Channel 11 at 6:30. And thanks to Susan Miller for joining us, the astrologer to the stars, Apple this weekend, Santa Monica at 4, and the LA store at 3rd and Fairfax at 3 o'clock if you want to be there for her Apple Store workshop with her Astrology Zone software.
All right, tomorrow morning on all new Kevin and Bean Show, we have D.L. Hughley in the studio.
Yeah.
Oh, he's great.
The Hugh.
Talking about
so funny.
The Hugh, is that Hugh. How you know him?
Love the Hugh.
Talking about doing some stand-up. We have Carrie
the Incredible Hugh, I call him.
We have Carrie Hart on the program tomorrow talking about a supermoto race. And we have Kevin Nealon in the studio.
Oh.
Kevin Nealer is your old stage name. Isn't that right. I used to go by when you worked
on
the White
stage.
Swallow. Yeah, you were known as Kevin Nealer.
So he'll be here tomorrow talking about Weeds, which is consistently maybe one of the best shows on TV.
And he gave us this gem about our own Kevin Ryder on last week's Reads.
Stupid hair. What grown man has blonde hair?
That's our boy Kevin Hillman right there. Yeah. Cat Corbis up next. How about 40 minutes nonstop K-Rock? Stick around for the Red Hot Chili Peppers because you never know when we might be playing them. Also, Foo Fighters, Silver Sun Pickups have a new one. You'll hear that. Pearl Jam, Rise Against, and more right after this on K-Rock.